Good evening, everybody! You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show... Well, this isn't going to make any more sense. The show that is better than having beer goggles. I am trying
to make some sense out of it. Some semblance.
I'll explain it all shortly. If you wish to call in the number, and you better call quickly because the phone's going to be tied up later on. The number to call it in.
And we'll explain that.
Yeah, sure. 845.
Explain all.
986-8804. 845-986-8804. If you want to join in our chat room, the Den Pen, go to davinsden.com and click chat and listen live. If you are listening on one of our great affiliates, you can minimize their page, open up a new tab for davincomedy.com. Then you go to the Davin's Den page and click chat and go, and you are in the Den Pen. I am your host, Davin Rosemont, and I am joined by Joe Curry.
I am your second co-host. Hi.
All right, he
said. What a long-winded.
It's like you were like you were professing a statement like you're here to save the day, and then it's like, I am your second co-host. Hi.
You know what? I feel like an idiot, and I'll tell you why. I'm listening to the intro music, and I'm like getting my stuff together. I'm like, oh, this is a good song. I always like this song. I forgot. I wrote it.
Right. Glad you're thrilled with yourself. Joe's a big fan of his own work.
I like me.
As you may have noticed, there is no Pip Helix here tonight. We will get into that momentarily. She will hopefully... be calling in and joining the show via phone line, sponsored by nobody at this point. And hopefully later on monitoring the Den Pen, which also sponsored by nobody at this point.
Yeah.
are you hi, how are you all tonight? Oh, okay. I'm trying to read the chat and run a show.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
I have been banned from bringing my computer ever.
That is not true.
Well, now that's been overruled tonight.
No.
You've been handed you shall bring it just in case.
Well, it's always good to have it. You've brought it before.
Yes.
We don't allow you to plug into the mixer now.
Right.
That's what we don't allow you to have anything that can affect the broadcast signal. Any longer.
That's the criteria?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It's like, I thought you just called it a big distraction.
Well, it is, but you're... it is, and it's not ideal.
I don't spread you like a backpedaling.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, I mean, we give you...
we don't have Pim, we need someone to do the chat, and
yeah.
3 hours away.
You did it a couple weeks ago, you were fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. You could do it. It's good.
Yes.
So, all right, I guess, I'll say what's coming up on tonight's show, then we'll explain what's going on with Helix.
Yes.
Because she's not here.
We're going to explain the show, and we're going to explain what we're going to do about it.
Yes. I had promoted the show by saying we were going to talk about everything that you need to throw out. One of the things that we threw out was Helix.
No.
No, we didn't
stop
throw
it
out. But because she's not here, we're not going to do that tonight. Because she is the hoarder in residence.
Yes.
So, and that really was a topic that is strongly suited to her talents, if hoarding is a talent.
I'll be frank with you, though. You call her the hoarder in residence. As I was reading some of it,
Oh, yeah, there's stuff.
Ooh.
There is stuff that I think...
maybe not so much on our end.
There is stuff on that list that I think we can all relate to.
Oh,
but that being said, Helix is the hoarder in residence.
Yes.
She is the go-to gal when it comes to collecting crap.
Yes.
So I wouldn't feel good about doing that topic without her.
Yes.
But we always have other stuff, so we will talk about the real beer goggles.
Mm.
We'll do a little Drunks in the News, got some other stuff. But one thing that we are going to talk about is, in scam-busting news, a trusted source of information and a person that says she would help you retrieve your money is now being accused of being a scammer herself.
Really?
Once again, the anti-scam community is eating each other.
Holy smokes.
So we'll look into that. We'll talk about that investigation. What's already been out there. We actually conducted an interview with somebody who's an alleged victim of this person. So that is exclusive. There's also some finger pointing in there that's going to piss some folks off, which always makes me happy. And,
you're a creep.
I certainly am.
Interesting.
And also, I have been in contact with the person, one of her names that she goes by, Ann Jackson. Her and I have been emailing back and forth, so I will present her side of the story, since I don't have an interview with her at this point.
Right, right.
So we'll try. You know, we're going to be like Fox News if Fox News really was. We're going to be fair and balanced. We're like Fox News without an agenda. So we'll present all sides of the story. We report, sort of. You guys decide.
CNN is just as bad on the left.
CNN's not a left thing. Yes, MSNBC's the left.
MSNBC, I'm sorry.
CNN is just bland. They're kind of like... I mean, the far right likes to say that CNN is really to left. They're really not. They're just boring. Yeah. MSNBC is the opposite of Fox News. CNN, they're just trying to get ratings any way you can.
Just be telling the truth, just deciphering what CNN, you know, what MSNBC and Fox says, and just going, all right, here's the deal.
Yeah, it'd be good if they did that, but they don't always do that.
No.
Be careful, Davin, before the anti-scroom eats you, before the anti-scam group eats me. See, that's one of the things. It was that was Morgaine chiming in. Right. That was one of the things that, and I don't want to get into it now, but when the Ann Jackson said, because she thinks I'm standing with her. I don't stand with anybody. Mm. This show does not stand with anybody. We stand with ourselves, the victims, and our audience. We do not stand with any anti-scam group or the criminals. But she's like,
and that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's like, well, be careful before they're coming after me. I'm like, I didn't say it to you, but like, you can come after me. I don't care.
Yeah. We'll just mock you.
Exactly.
And make fun of you.
We have the loudest microphone.
You. Yes.
Exactly. So bring it. We don't care.
Yeah.
So it's fine. But I'm not really worried. I mean, I listen. If there's dirty people, we report them. If there's clean people, we try to praise them.
And believe me, you deal with drunk hecklers at a late show, you can pretty much deal with anything.
Well, Trucker Tom, in case nobody sees any smart-ass comments out of me, it may be due to my laptop battery going dead. Really stupid? You've been stuck in a hotel in Indiana for a damn week. Oh, you can't plug in?
Yo, by the way, Tom, enough with the clown pictures. You've been scaring the shit out of me with those things.
All right, fine. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
It's just between me and him.
Yeah, but we have a show we're doing.
I understand.
Do you?
I understand. It was a moment. I'm not making a segment out of
it. Well, now we have.
Now I have, yes.
I guess it's better to broadcast that over the air than a simple Facebook message or text, Joe.
John has a big mustache. John has a big mustache, like in France during the 1940s.
What?
Like a code word when they used to have the French radio.
If Pip was here, I'd relegate you to Morse code at this point. But she's not.
Dot,
so you're...
dot, dot, dash.
I will try my best to make do with my iPad. All right. Trucker Tom is explaining to the den
pen. Well, don't yell at the guy. The poor guy's...
No, it's my fault because I'm reading it. I shouldn't be reading it.
Okay.
This is Helix's job to disseminate.
I understand, but don't, you know...
Let's move on with this.
Tom's had a rough week. I'm not going to.
He's had a rough week sitting on his ass.
Yeah. Well, make it. I don't know. Now I don't want to get into it.
Good. I'm glad you don't want to talk about his wages. You know, I did the interview with Trucker Tom.
I don't know what he gets. I don't want to go into what truckers get paid on downtime.
Yeah, go to the January 2nd, not Davin's Den, if you want to hear more of Trucker Tom with me, and he can expound on what his job is really like.
Right.
Exactly. All right. So we'll get to why Pip Helix is not here in a second. We will go on that. The show did make a little bit of news this week. This past week, we were listed on the Army's official OPSEC page, which is a operational security page, their operational security Facebook page, which is how they fight anti-scamming on Facebook, how they give information to both military and civilians alike, and they were kind enough to list this humble show, Davin's Den, as a source to get good information and fight scamming.
And it's a lot of credibility on our part.
It certainly is.
Because with everybody out there questioning each other and what we do and stuff like that.
Who questions us, Joe?
Well.
Who has the balls? How dare you?
But no, it lends a lot of credit to what we do. And with the Army, I mean, for God's sakes, it's the Army. It's the Army, for God's sakes.
Joe, do me a favor. When you're going to talk, do it into the microphone.
I did.
Not that I was watching the monitor. Now you are.
Yes.
Yeah. We have to get you omnidirectional mics.
Okay.
See, people want to hear your pearls of wisdom, especially without Helix. Then it's just me babbling. Who's he talking to? It must be the cat in the room.
Yeah.
But you're right. It does. It does give us a lot. I think it does give us a lot of credibility. I think what the next thing I'm going to do with that is contact Western Union, because I haven't spoken to them in a little while. They were supposed to come on the show and give it, because they're a big part of this whole anti-scamming story.
A major part.
And I think I'm going to say, because I was just shown another Facebook page, which is a scammer page where all the scammers talk to each other. And they have big pictures of a Western Union on there. And I think I'm going to send the person who I was talking to over Western Union that screenshot, which I have, and the screenshot of us being promoted on the OPSEC page and go, all right, you see a difference here?
Yes.
You really should come on if you want to get your side of the story up.
Just refresh. How proactive has Western Union been on this whole situation?
You know, as far as talking the situation, as far as talking to us, or what they're trying to fight scamming.
How they're trying to fight scammers. Obviously, we are a part of that, and also the part of that is trying to discuss it with us, which would be in a program to be proactive about it. But in general, how proactive have they been?
Long story short, you know, you go on their website. You go into their places of business mm-hmm. in Western Union, you'll see signs. If you think this is fraud, do not send the money. Well, all right. If I thought it was fraud, I probably wouldn't already be here. That's pretty much been the extent of it. They say they work with authorities. Listen, I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
That's why I want to talk to them.
Yes.
I mean, if you talk to people who have been scammed, they don't do enough.
Right.
You know, if you talk to Western Union, and I have. You know, they say they work with authorities.
Right.
They say they're doing all they can do. I think they can do more.
Right.
I want to give them a forum to let the world know what they do.
Right. Just to question them a lot, you know, a lot of things. An example of that would be Surf Easy. When we took on Surf Easy, people were saying, well, we don't believe it, blah, blah, blah. We've had the gentleman on. In-depth interview. Total credibility. We'd like to do the same thing with Western Union. Get them on. In-depth interview. And have them, you know, give us their feedback on what they're doing to be proactive against the problem.
Wouldn't it be ironic if one day we were sponsored by Western Union?
Then they're great. They do no wrong.
Well, we wouldn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah,
these scammers are all using MoneyGram. Damn you, scammers!
No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't.
I'll tell you what. You know it's a scammer when they want you to mail them cash. They never use Western Union.
Yes, right. Just send cash.
So, I meant to do that today. I will do that soon. But, yeah, because at one point they were concerned, well, you're a comedy show. And I'm like, well, if you've listened, not so much. But yeah. So I will re-engage with Western Union.
It just burns me up again where they see the comedy. Yeah, we're comics. But, however, some of the most, you know, in-depth thinkers and people that question are comics. You're George Carlin. You're John Stewart's. Al Franken, you know.
Bill Maher,
Dennis Miller are the most in-depth because we go in and investigate, find, and dig to make something funny out of something. And you have to do a lot of research. You got to make sure it's pretty much factual when you discuss it. So when people say, well, you guys are comic, yeah, well, we are, but we're very in-depth in our research.
It's just a cheap way to paint us as illegitimate, which is fine. You could pay. But the truth of the matter is now we've been quoted in a newspaper as an source of investigators. You could go to our site right now, davinsden.com, go to Busted. You'll see more on Juliana Avalos than you'll ever see in any of the newspapers. We're going to have another aspect of this whole is she a scammer, not a scammer thing tonight. I'm working on other things. We're working with that. We just got listen, we don't have to justify ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to try one more time, Western Union. Yeah. At one time, we were talking quite a bit. It is what it is. Yeah. We're either going to cover the stories with them or without them. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
We don't rely on any one interview to do our show.
Yeah, but I will say this. Some of the most intelligent, well-read people are comics.
Not here, but yes, in general.
in general.
We hope to get them on this show.
Yes, yes.
That's just silly.
Yes.
All right. So where is the Helix? All right. The Helix was, those of you who are her Facebook friends with Helix, you know she'd been having a tough go with it of late with her day job.
Mm.
So she was working long hours and everything.
Trudging and toiling.
She was working, she went on to work on Sunday doing her day job, which she's not supposed to, when she should have been, you know, attending to our show, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I'll have to lash into her.
I blew off the work I brought home for my day job to do this prep. So.
As well you should have.
There you go.
Lord knows I've blown off a mediocre comedy career. So, I guess at some point today, Pip got a flat tire.
Right.
So she put a donut on her car, and she had to stay late at work to do even more of what she was been doing. I guess this
right.
is a very busy time of the year for her. So she calls me. She's like, "Listen, I'm probably going to get here right before showtime. Is Joe going to be on time?" I go, "I don't know. I mean, he usually tells me when he's going to be late. I haven't really heard from Joe today.
Yeah,
it's raining.
Off the phone. I was so busy.
It's raining. He's coming from the Long Island. It's anybody's guess. He's not responding to text, which usually he does when he's in traffic."
Sorry about that. Traffic was moving quite well. That's right. You know,
damn it!
I'm sorry.
This is a joke. It's snowy. I can't see. There's fog. Here's a picture of my windshield. Really?
Well, you're always wondering, yeah, how bad was it? Well, here you go.
Yes, for inquiring minds who wanted to see the before shot of the car accident.
Yes.
he was driving so nicely, and then there he was, wrapped around the telephone pole.
Yes.
So Pip is says, you know, I'll probably be here around 6:30.
Right.
Okay, you get here. When you get here, we got a big show catered towards you.
Yes.
It always seems to happen. Whenever I pick a lot of subjects that I feel she will excel in, she always has issues. I need to stop doing that. There's a reason it's not cool. Helix's Haven.
I'd just be cats.
So I have a whole topic because, you know, as we discussed, Helix is the hoarder in residence. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do a commercially philosophy last week because we had so much stuff. I wanted to get to that this week and everything.
Right.
So she calls me at 6 o'clock.
Right.
Figure it's just going to be an update. What could possibly be wrong?
Well, it was an update.
It was an update. It was an update. Yeah, I'm on the thruway and I got my second flat tire of the day. How did you do that? Oh, I drove over a pothole with the donut. That's not the type of donuts you usually like.
Right. But here's the deal. I'm sure it's not her idea of a good time either to be on the side of the thruway with a flat.
No, it is. It was spite on her part.
Yeah, it could pick a better way.
Oh, that's very nice. Lisa67 says, you folks do more for scam victims than most. Well, that's very nice.
Thank you very much.
We certainly try.
Yes, we do.
So, yeah. So I'm like, well, you're on the thruway. How about you give Joe a call? Yeah, Joe could pick you up. She's like, well, I can't leave my car here. I'm like, nobody's going to steal that. With that stupid vanity plate that you have and the crap you have in the back, I think you're pretty safe.
Somebody abandoned all their belongings in his car.
It must be a homeless person's car.
Yeah.
She'll be back. It obviously doesn't run. She's probably going to push it further.
It's not an abandoned car. It's a house.
Why is there three cats in it? Yeah. She should have left the windows a crack. A cat, a catastrophe, LR. I can't read them all. So she said she can't leave it. I understand.
Right.
But with that car, I leave the car.
But the whole thing is, now you got to do the show. You get done with the show.
I already had a Houston queued up. It was an ornery Helix. It was an inflamed Helix.
But it's one of those, I mean, you know, she's a girl. And by the time we get up here and do the show, then the whole thing is, now when we get done with the show, now you've got a whole car situation to deal with. Something like that has got to be, you know, has got to be dealt with immediately.
I guess
you have to
you want to be logical about it.
You have to be. I mean, then you get done. You got to go down the thruway, turn around, go all the way back. Now you don't have a spare tire. Now you got to wait for the help truck or the tow truck or something to come along to put the tire on. And you've got to do this. I mean, by the time we get out at 11 o'clock at night on a really crappy rainy night, you know,
the rain's supposed to stop. Rain's supposed to stop around 9:10, Joe.
Get the sympathy of Himmler. Let me tell you.
How dare you? The sympathy. And what would that be, Joe? What would the sympathy of Himmler be? Would you like to go further with that?
No. Sure, if you want.
The tire is the flat. You fix the tire after the show. Get into staff car and let's get up to the dead.
Yes, I will be late. We have to feel good to tire. Are we good to go? Thank you.
And now you can leave Helix and deal with the car. You've been dismissed. Yes, there are priorities. We worked very hard on this show. Stupid car. Nobody's going to steal that.
Oh God!
Would you steal it?
No, but it's not the case of that. It's that, you know, you have to deal with all this stuff at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you deal with it at 6. Boy, I could see if I was laid up in the hospital and I'm on deathbed. Joe, take the phone. What? It's stupid. He wants you to be on the show.
Nah, you don't contribute enough for that.
Thanks.
You're in a hospital. I mean, now your internet is interfering with the next patient's heart monitor. I can't be held responsible for that.
No, now you have a heart. The girl's on the side of the turnpike.
Not my heart. You pay the patient next to you heart.
I know, but I mean, really, you care more about a patient next to me than you do poor Pip. On
that
the
patient's more
room.
Likely to sue me. Helix isn't going to sue me. She's seen what I got. Not worth stealing. What's she going to steal? My wife's copy of her whole Bill Cosby cassettes?
That might be worth the litigation.
So, So Helix, hopefully will get situated at home, probably around 7:30 or so, if everything works out.
Right.
So then hopefully she'll call in, and she will monitor the den pen and join us for the second half of the show.
I hope she's not tired.
What?
You didn't get Ty. I hope she's not tired. Ty, I'm throwing at you, boy. They're going right over your head.
I hope she's not tired, eh? After that joke, you should be retired.
Well, at least I wish you got it.
Yeah, Jeff, that's great.
Well, I'm not saying it's brilliance. It actually stinks on ice, but you know.
I got it, Joe. Okay. I got it for a second. I thought,
but I should have gotten a really on that. You should have gotten a joke, and at least gotten. I should have gotten a really.
You're right. I apologize for not catching the stink you were throwing right away.
You should.
Speaking of stink, how's our CD going? That working out well? Any progress?
I thought we got to talk about that.
All right, we'll talk about that. I felt like you'd get a quick yes and do a quick little promotion of it, but no.
I think we had a miscommunication about something.
Why? Well, you know, I wasn't expecting it done today.
Oh, I didn't.
No, I was just wondering if you had worked on it at all.
No, I was working on the. Why are we discussing show business?
Because we're filming. Yeah. Need I explain everything?
I had to get the clips done, and I didn't know if we were all.
No, I want you doing everything simultaneously.
Okay.
Yeah, your workload just increased.
Okay.
It's not waiting till we get another break.
I didn't think so. I didn't know if there was more to do
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
We could talk about it later.
We're going to have to, yes. Yeah.
Inside show stuff. All right. So, yeah. So, hopefully Helix will join us in a little while. That's a trucker time. Tired? Oof, Joe, you should have been thrown under a bunch of tires, stupid.
All right. That's what I was expecting.
And then Morgane goes, ha-ha, Tom, good one. They hate you.
But you want to know, at least... I'm getting something. I'm getting a reaction. I didn't get a reaction out of you.
Yeah, you're like...
And that was the reaction I was expecting.
You're like a husband who tries to get with his wife and then gets swatted away. Go, all right, at least I know you got a pulse. Multitask,
but
Joe.
Thank you out there. That's the reaction I was looking for.
All right. Good. Very good. Very good. So, this week, this past week, both my girls had been sick.
I saw that.
So, and I had some personal stuff I was dealing with, and Skylar's homesick, my daughter's homesick, and the wife is homesick. So now I got to do everything.
What
on,
they have?
Let's see, what the daughter, the daughter at one point woke up with like a fever of 103.
Oh, the poor thing.
Yeah, and she really did not shake her fever just until a day ago. Mm. The wife had some flu-type situation, although she got the flu shot, perfect. Glad that's working out well for her. But she was like all achy and just beaten up and everything.
Yeah.
And then my parents are like, well, you know, just because she got the flu doesn't mean you shouldn't get your flu shot. I think it does. Yeah. I'm doing just fine. I have no flu shots. I shall overcome.
Yeah. I never got a flu shot.
No, look at the picture of health you are.
Yeah, yes. I'm actually relatively healthy.
Yes.
I just gotta quit smoking.
Yes.
That's about it.
Yes.
I'm eating better. Yeah, I lost some weight. I'm going to lose more. Go to the gym. And just got to quit smoking. But I like smoking. See, with smoking, the first time I quit smoking when I was 21. And I loved to run back then. And I wanted to quit smoking more than anything else in the world. And I quit smoking cold turkey. And fine. Went years, decades. And then I just wound up in a lot of stress maybe about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started smoking those little cigars of mine and smoking more. And the problem is now that I just love smoking. I love it. Don't want to quit. But I got to try.
That's usually how addictions work.
I understand that. But basically the first time around, I wanted to quit. This time around, I kind of want to quit, but I don't have the wherewithal.
So. No, well, you know what? When you lose a lung, you'll probably be a little bit more motivated.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's good.
That's in the future. I'm not getting any younger, so yeah, that's on my mind.
Can't wait to do this show with one more piece of equipment. I have to hook up your respirator.
Make it too much noise. Gonna push you over to the side because the respirator.
Joe, we're going to need to build another room for this studio. Stop breathing or get healthy. Those are your choices. I really don't care which you're going to do, but make a decision. The sickly Joe is not working.
Yes.
Sickly people, I realize I am not that compassionate. I try to be, but
really? For the first 10 minutes of this show, I never guessed. We just pick up Pip on the side of the road, figure out how she's going to
get home. I didn't say leave her there. I didn't say screw a bitch. Why are you calling me with these problems? I mean, in the whole scheme of things, pretty compassionate when it came to her. I didn't say, hey, you should flag down a stranger in the middle of the road and see if they can drive you over here. I said, call you. Somebody she knows.
Yes.
So I wasn't completely not compassionate. I resent that. So now on Saturday... I got to do everything.
Right.
We take the kid to karate because the fever's broke. Probably a mistake because she had it the next day. Take the kid to karate.
Yeah.
And then I have to do the food shopping all by myself, which I've never done before.
You never food shop?
Not an adult's food shopping.
Really?
Well, I mean, as you know, as a college kid, you pick up a couple things, what you need for that night's dinner.
Right.
But, no, this is like, it's the Can-Can sale at ShopRite. I can't pass this up. This only comes once a year. Screw it. We need cream corn. I need to go. So I did that, but I was okay with it because I put on my, I had my music with me.
Right.
You know, I was listening to my tunes. I was okay with it, but it was still a daunting task because it was a big food shopping.
You get a list and you just pick up what's on a shelf that matches the list.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the ins and outs of food shopping, Joe.
I understand that, but it seems like a brave new world when you have to do it without your wife.
In some ways, yeah. So I saved about $100.
Really?
And the guy goes, any coupons? Like, no, man, wrong dude. I ain't got coupons,
man. How'd you save $100?
Because of the Can-Can sale. You know, you have the little Price Club card.
Gonna be, oh, God, how long are people going to be eating cream corn?
I didn't actually get any cream corn.
What'd you get?
Regular corn. I got rain checks. I got rain checks on peas.
What did your...
It's the Can-Can sale, Joe.
You're so tenacious. You're not going to stop till you get those fucking peas.
Now, let me ask you. The daughter eats peas. She doesn't eat many.
All right. Now, was your wife thrilled about your purchases? Were you given a list when you were sent to
the store? I made the list.
You made the list?
Yeah.
So your wife had no...
She had input.
She had input.
I made the list. The difference between me and the wife when we go shopping by ourselves, I come home with everything on the list.
Mm.
She forgets.
Ah.
I am a superior shopper.
See, my wife...
Although I don't want that getting out because then I'll be asked to do it more.
Yeah. Well, see, my wife and I have just a wonderful marriage. And we do. And one of the biggest problems is we do everything separate. We're very separate. And we never shop together, ever. Ever. I do my
it's
own
crazy.
Shopping. I do my own shopping. She does her own shopping. And one of the big...
But in her defense, she does leave the produce in the bed with you so you can see what she bought.
Yes, yes. I get to snuggle up with whatever she brought home.
It's the Can-Can sale. How are those beets?
Oh, rolling under my pillow. But the thing is, to her, the supermarket is a magical place with interesting people and foods.
Well,
and,
compared to you.
And to me, if I'm not out in 15 minutes, I have to be escorted. You know, so it's like I just want to get in, get my stuff, and get out.
No, I don't blame you.
You know?
I mean, I had a good time with it because I was listening to music. If I didn't have music, I'd be going insane.
Yeah.
So, all right. But here was my thing. So in between karate. Oh, and by the way, I'm cooking dinner every damn night. Really?
Really?
Yeah, I'm doing it all, my friend. I'm like Mr. Friggin' Mom, word right. That we can't use anymore. Listen to the show. It'll make sense.
Yes. last week's replay.
Exactly. So I got to take her to this thing at the library. They're building birdhouses. I got to take my daughter
right
to the thing at the library.
Can't the kid stay home for a weekend? She's got to do karate. She's got to build a birdhouse. When is she going to weld?
How about going to sleep?
Just relax.
But she's been home for a couple of days.
Right.
Because she's been out of school.
Right.
So it's good to get her out and everything. So I'm looking at all these other parents.
Yeah.
And they seem a little bit more happy than me, perhaps.
Everybody does. Except me.
That's why I keep you around. When I dip below your level, it's like, I need to change.
Yes.
You're my barometer.
Even at my level, I'm like, I need to change. And I'm like, nah, fuck, I like it. Whatever.
You're my barometer of awful.
A good damn barometer.
You certainly are. The best in the business, Mr. Curry. So I'm looking at these parents, and I'm like thinking, do I look like them? Do I have that parenty look? Now, before you answer that, I want to come clean with what I was wearing. I was wearing jeans, a flannel, a baseball cap, and a jean jacket vest with Looney Tunes on the back.
Unless the parents are in Van Halen or Pearl Jam, maybe maybe there's a problem. Then you fit right in. But if they're not...
I understand that while saying what I was wearing... Certainly gives the impression, I've given up.
Now, I mean, what were they wearing?
I don't know. Like
what
the
mean, you don't know. You made an observation.
Like
you gotta know.
I guess like the mom jeans, like the gotcha. Women, like the women are wearing the jeans that don't hug the butt.
Right, right.
The guys are wearing like jackets that. I don't want to, what was that one that they used to wear in the 70s?
Members only.
Yeah, I don't want to say members only jackets.
But those style of jackets.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Really?
Yeah, nobody's looking. Like, all the women's breasts are saggy.
Really?
Like, the breasts have given up.
Right.
Everybody's ass has given up. Now, I know in my eyes, on this day, I'm giving off the impression that I've given up. But I put this out there. I go, do I look like a parent? And some people on my Facebook page said some very wonderful and lovely things.
Wow,
which,
that's odd.
They're not like you.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Now, Pip said she would not. She chimed in on my Facebook page, and she said I do not look very parental. But do I look like a parent?
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
You look like a parent. You look like a young parent.
Well, I'll take young, because I'm almost 40.
Yeah.
Because that ain't young anymore.
Hey, people look, you know, I tell you, when I go to my high school reunion, I've gone to high school reunions, I'm looking at the people, I'm like, you people are old. Jesus Christ. I act.
Hold on. I'm only interrupting you because Trucker Tom said something so terrible. Really? The pedo uniform, Uncle Davin? glad to see Trucker Tom got all of his equipment plugged in for that shot. If it wasn't so funny, I'd be playing the punishment song. But it was very funny, so I can't.
He lives another day.
Listen, if you're going to attack me, you know you got to bring it or the punishment song. Tom brought it. Go on. Anyway, go on, Joe.
So, yeah, I went to my high school reunion. I'm looking at the people there, and I see the people I went to high school on Facebook. I'm like, you people are old.
Yeah! I look at my friends, and I think the same thing.
I think what we do, all the stuff that we do, keeps us in, like, an arrested development.
You mean running around like a jackass?
Yeah.
I agree.
Arrested development.
Because we're constantly, because you with the music and the comedy,
yeah.
Me with the comedy, it puts us in front of, like, the club environment.
Yeah. We're constantly in clubs on the weekend. I guess it puts us that in that environment. It's like... I think I act 10 years younger than I am, you know.
Yeah, but it's not about the acting. I'm talking about the look. Because you don't want to dress like you're trying to hide your age.
Yeah.
What some might say I do with my stupid cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Some might say you do.
Well,
you don't.
I'll give you an example on
you
how
don't.
To dress. You know, without you know trying to look you know your age. The band's doing a video. We're doing a video on Saturday.
Oh,
Sunday,
right.
Rather. All right? And I got to figure out what I want to wear. And I'm like, I don't want to look like, you know, I don't want to look like an old man, but I don't want to look like...
You're going to leave your cane?
Yeah.
And your bifocals?
I got to dress in a way where I look not my age, but not like a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's very hard.
Yeah. You got to, you know, because you don't want to like go like... But wear stuff that a 21-year-old kid's going to wear.
Well, it's funny, though, because you always ask, do I want to go to the compound parties, which is very nice of you.
Right.
Well, there's a couple reasons why I don't go to the compound parties. First of all, I really don't know anybody.
Mm.
But second of all, they all look much older than me. But I look at you, and I don't think of you being much older than me.
But the thing is, at the compound, everybody, it's like, we act like wild men there.
That doesn't make it any better.
Really, we have the Sunrise Club and stuff like that.
I know, now you're
old.
Now you're old people not acting your age.
God bless us.
I guess.
God bless us.
I guess so. So, Joe, do you think I look like a parent?
Yeah, but a young parent.
What does that mean?
It looks like the parents in their 20s and their 30s. You look like a parent in your 30s.
All right. Well, I am in my 30s.
All right. Then you look
not much longer though.
Yeah, but it's not like you dress frumpy and you know.
Well, on that day, that wasn't exactly a great look.
Hey, listen. There was some time there. I'll never forget. I was out. I went out one day and I wear these brown hiking boots. I had my shorts, my camouflage shorts.
Right.
And I'm wearing a tan short sleeve shirt, like a Dickies style shirt. And I walk outside and I got my hat on and I'm walking down the street and I look in a store mirror and I see my reflection. And I go, I look like an absolute asshole. I dress like an asshole. I look like a moron. And I'm like, I had to change.
I look at my closet, and this is going to be when we talk about next week. We'll talk about things that you
right.
throw out. And it's like, well, I'm not going to wear that.
Oh yeah.
And then, what I do like to wear makes me look like an asshole. I'll like throw on a Van Halen shirt.
Yeah.
But it's like, really, am I in the band? But still, I want to wear it. I still wear my football jerseys.
Yeah, I still wear my jerseys. I still wear my band T-shirts.
I need to go shopping for more trendy clothes.
Why? T-shirt's cool. T-shirt and jeans, that's cool.
I just don't want... You know what? It's cool being a parent. I don't want to... When I think of parent, I think beaten down and given up. I don't mean MILFy parent.
Yeah.
Whether it be male or female.
Right.
I still want to appear doable to the general public. That's what I want.
You have to, because you're an entertainer. That's true.
Well, I don't think we all have to be doable, Joe.
No, you do. You do. You have to be presentable.
Well, then clearly I'm failing.
Well, but you have to be in a presentable fashion. That's, I think that's why we think young and stuff like that. I'm not like, you know, like trying to sound pathetic, but I mean, you know, we're in a different mindset that a lot of people are. I don't want to sound elitist, but you know, I'm in a different mind. Me, I don't have kids. I'm in the same mindset that I was when I was like in my mid 20s. I don't know if that's a good
thing
or a bad thing, but I think it's the mindset I'm in.
What are you, late? You're 50.
I'm 51.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm catching up, but you don't seem 51 to me. Yeah. It's funny. I always look at you as about the same age as me. Although since we've known each other, you never have been.
Yeah. Well, one of the guys in the band was talking to Johnny. He goes, I feel kind of bummed out. And Johnny's like, why? He goes, because I'm the oldest member in the band. And John's like, no, Joe is. He's like, Joe's the oldest. Yeah, Joe's the oldest.
That's great.
You know, yeah, grandpa behind the keys.
If it makes you feel any better, you're the oldest person on the show.
Yes, but I don't act my age.
You certainly do not. You certainly do not act like a man who has gained knowledge through his years.
I'm a state of arrested development. I like little matchbox cars. I have that.
They're right behind you, Joe. Go play. I got a whole bunch of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I don't act my age. I act like an imbecile. And you want to know something?
I don't know if acting like an imbecile means that you're acting young. I think it just means you're acting like an imbecile.
Well, no. I mean, I'm a responsible person.
Sure you are.
You know, semi-responsible person. I am responsible during the day. I try to get my work, you know, work done. I'm a professional. I do this, that, and the other thing. But I like to party. I like, you know, on the weekends, I like to play in my band. I like to hang out. You know, a lot of things that I do, a lot of people my age don't do.
No, it's true.
You know, and it's just, it's something I have to live the rest of my life. Do I have regrets that I didn't have kids? Yeah. It didn't happen. It didn't happen for a variety of reasons. A lot of them are coming to roost right now.
What does that mean?
Well, that means, well, my marriage is not doing very well. So, you know.
Because of the
that has is a very big catalyst for it. And I can go into a long story. And I'm like I said, in the past year, I've been finding a lot of stuff out that you don't. It's amazing how much stuff you have that you put in the back of your mind that you think shouldn't be a problem, but it is. And then all of a sudden you start acting on things that you don't know why. But
this is where your therapy's coming in.
Well, the therapy's coming in, yeah, where you're acting and you don't know why, and through therapy you're figuring out why. You know, I don't want to go into a long, whole-winded thing, but, you know, basically a lot of it, you know, is we didn't have kids. But because we didn't have kids, I allowed it to, it allows me to work on the weekends, allows me to play in the band, allows me to work on a show, allows me to do stand-up, whereas it allows me to work on the
So what do you think somebody who is not in the entertainment field could do to, like, what type of hobby could they do that you would think would keep them young, besides drinking your face off?
I don't know. I don't know. It's young is whatever makes whatever makes you feel happy. You got to be yourself. You have to be yourself. If I had kids and I was, you know, happy, you know.
I think kids age you, though.
They certainly do.
Look what they're doing to me.
Yeah, they certainly do. You know, and I think, you know, kids would age you. But it depends what makes you happy. This weekend, I couldn't get arrested.
I'm sure if you tried, you could have.
Yeah, but basically, I spent the whole week, pretty much the whole weekend at home. And Saturday was rolling around. I had a dentist appointment. I had this, that, and the other thing. I taught my aunt, you know, all this other stuff. But the thing was, I was working on the show. But the thing was, it was so nice for a weekend, because I've been off the past couple of weeks, that I didn't have to run and drive 2 hours somewhere. It was just nice to be, you know, to be home.
Did you hang out with your wife?
No, not at all.
Why would you?
Why? Well, because we're going through a whole sort of issues. But the thing was, it was just, and I haven't, my schedule for the past 6 months has been just crazy. You know, run here, do this with the band, do this guy. And now it's Santa Claus time, blah, 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 no break. No. And finally, when you get a break, and believe me, my mental state this year was a lot better than it was last year. So I got most of my marbles together. So it was just nice to spend an afternoon home. I mean, I'm at the dentist, and I'm like, wow, when I get done with the dentist, I can have a nice lunch. I don't have to, you know, work at my own pace. I have to run around, you know. So it was nice. So getting back to the original question, whatever makes you happy to make you feel young, if you're trying to make yourself feel young, you have a problem. Do what makes you happy.
Scamming. Hey, I'm only 42. He is 51. All right, well, poor Joe, flowers and chocolates do wonders.
For who?
All right, I guess we'll put him in a Calgon bath, too.
That I would enjoy.
Would you enjoy a bath?
Yes.
I'm not a bath guy.
Yeah.
I like that's why I'm so dirty.
I like the hot tub.
There's a hole in my... I don't even know what the hell that means, scamming scammer. There's a hole in my marble bag. I maybe it's an impotency joke. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, that's probably it.
Well, welcome to the show, Scary.
Let me tell you, during that whole time, it got pretty ridiculous when we were trying to get pregnant. I had my urologist yelling at my wife's gynecologist, pointing the blame on whose fault it is we couldn't have kids.
They're not really supposed to do that.
They did. Because the gynecologist going, no, the sperm count is low. My urologist calls up her and she goes, no, the sperm count is fine. And I'm like, oh, this is getting ridiculous.
Why don't we just put it on a face and we all can all count together?
Oh, God, you can't. That's not nice.
What?
Are you talking? No, my wife's face.
No, I said a face.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say your wife's face. Okay. It could be a random face, Joe. Yes, a face that you and your wife picked together.
Yeah.
Either somebody you both like or I don't like.
Yeah, but it don't look good.
All right. Shall we do a little drunks in the news?
Most certainly.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, this week, we should do the Benjamin Franklin drinking term.
Ah.
Haven't done that in a while.
Been a while, you forgot.
Yeah, I did forget it. Of course.
You remembered.
I have it written down. It's just a matter of reading what I wrote.
All right, that's fine.
No, but I've passed them before. As we all, long-time listeners know, Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of our great nation, came up with 200 synonyms for getting messed up and sloshed on the booze. So when we do this bit, we like to pay one of our favorite founding fathers.
Yes.
A tribute. So we reveal some of his terms from his drinking dictionary. This week is catched. So if you got bombed, I was catched. Like the booze caught you.
Yeah, I got you.
I catched.
I got catched.
We're going to the compound and we're going to get catched.
That's a good snap. I like that one.
Well, you should start implementing it.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
At the right compound party, you might catch several things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Joe was strangely silent on that one. All right. So this week, little drinking news. I don't have the university here, unfortunately.
But LSU.
LSU. Thank you, Joe. LSU got funded to come up with these goggles that you put on these straight people so you could simulate what it is to be drunk. Mm. So everything's kind of hazy. It makes you kind of dizzy and everything. That's pretty much it.
To lower your inhibitions? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the point of this is to discourage you from drinking and driving.
Yes.
I mean, do you think this invention's a good idea?
Yeah, it is. Especially if you got, like, you know, high schools would be a good place. Because, you know, when you're there, you feel you're invincible. From the ages of 15...
To clearly 51, is
yeah,
you?
To 51. Wow.
It all ties in.
No, because basically, but you're in your 20s, you make all your stupid mistakes.
Well, not all of us.
Well,
you really should listen to what you said a minute ago.
No. No, but you know, dumbass stuff would bet you like drinking and stuff like that.
You feel impervious the younger you are.
Yes, you do. So if you put it, you know, if you get these on high school kids, college kids like sophomores and stuff like that to show them what it would be like being drunk, you might have a chance of cutting down on binge drinking, driving under the alpha ones. Yeah, we're going to drive under A and B. Driving under the influence and that effect. So I think it has a positive effect.
I got to agree with you. I mean, I don't know how much it would cost the school system to get these, but I think if you're going to teach, if you're teaching health to high school kids,
yeah.
You're going to teach about alcohol.
Yes.
They're going to be taking driver's ed.
Yes.
You know, in a lot of schools they take driver's ed. I shouldn't say every school.
Right.
But I think it's a great tool. I think it's, yeah. I don't know.
Also for another reason is if you're wearing this and you know what it looks like, you know, feels like, or the sights that you have to be drunk. If you can't be everywhere, so let's say a kid is at a party and he has a couple of beers and he starts to feel a little bit that way.
Right.
He might go, you know what, I'm starting to get a little drunk.
Maybe he feels a little catched.
Yeah, you're a little catched. Maybe I should mellow out a little bit instead of pushing the limit.
Okay. Now, here's a question, Joe. If you're already drunk and you put the goggles on, Do you see straight?
You see God.
You see God. I was waiting for you.
He's the guy in the robe. Looks like he's in ZZ Top.
If I would have known we were talking about God, I would have seen if he could call in.
Right.
The big guy has called in before.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. But, Matt is starting to straighten out.
I do think it would be more realistic, though, with these goggles, they have one attractive person and a bunch of ugly people, and you had to hook up with somebody based on attractiveness.
I was just, you beat me to the punch, because I'm like, yeah, I wonder how much hotter a chick would look with those glasses
on. You just had like a 700-pound beast. You put the goggles on. Wow, her face is bumpy. I don't care!
Oh, it's a piece of ass now.
Wow, she looks like a size 3. Yeah. Who cares if she's a size 333?
Wow. And look at this group of chicks. Even the C blocker looks hot.
The C blocker.
Oh, I love it. You used to go out to the bar, and it used to be the C blocker, the big, heavy, fat chick, the C blocker that they would bring around with them.
What is she, the bouncer?
Oh, no, but she's on, she's on duty, and it's like,
she's on duty.
I think I even told one, well, we have to go now. I go, you're a good C blocker.
You're a good C blocker. You make her sound like the type of thing that they try to erect before a hurricane comes on the Outer Islands.
Yeah. Or drunken men come into the bar.
Somebody said, it sounds like the movie Shallow Hal. It does sound like Shallow Hal scamming scammers.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Now we're all Jack Black.
Yes.
All right, I'd be Jack Black.
Yes.
All right, I think it's a pretty cool invention.
Absolutely.
A lot of us get drunk. So I guess next thing we'll do is 10 things we all do. And we can discuss whether we all do them. Did you look over the list, Joe?
I most certainly did.
All right, good. Then we don't have to share it with the audience. Now, you should all know what we all do. You're doing it. Stop it. I can see you. It's gross, damn it. All right, 10 things we all do. Embellishing. Oh, and this, I should say, wait, this coming.
You're going to count it. You should count it down from.
I'm just going to go on the list that they have.
Oh.
I don't know if it was. I don't know if there was any relevance to the numbers.
Oh, okay.
Did you put them in some type of order?
No, there was the order that was on the little facts.
Yeah, I just think they did it so they could keep track.
Oh, okay.
But we did get this from BuzzFeed.com, so I don't want to say that we came up with this. This is from BuzzFeed.com. Embellishing stories to make them more entertaining. That's typically a guy thing. Like the big, like the one that got away type of story.
Yeah.
Whether it be a hot chick or like a fish,
yeah.
Which can often be the same thing. if you're lucky. I am not... I'm not really one for that, which is the reason why I'm probably not very good at telling stories, in my opinion.
Yeah. I never really, maybe embellish just a skosh.
Give me an example of a curry embellishment.
Oh, God.
You got paid in fives?
I don't, it's so infrequent that I really wouldn't have an example.
Do you know those guys, though? Those people?
Sometimes.
It's kind of annoying.
Sometimes, like, if there's an old, like, if we're all hanging around, all our old friends and stuff like that, and somebody, tells an old story of something that happened, then...
The story grows.
Yeah. and it's like, did that happen? But you don't want to look like a dick.
So do you enjoy the embellished story?
Sometimes. It makes it cooler sometimes.
So if somebody, if you don't know the story, would you rather... a truthful story that is not quite as interesting, or an embellished story full of BS?
I would. It depends on. Really, take two, Stu, because I've got so many thoughts coming to my head. Depends who's telling the story. There's some people that tell bone stories, and there's some people that tell really good stories. Sometimes you listen to a story, and somebody will tell it, and it's like, God Almighty, this is droning on, even though it's the truth. If somebody's telling a funny story where there might be some embellishments in there, I would enjoy it even more.
Your pal Kumi tells good stories.
Yeah, Anthony does.
I don't know if they're true or not. I have no way of verifying, but they're very entertaining.
A lot of them are true, and one of the most surreal things that happened to me is that I was working with Jim Norton up at Bananas one time.
Right.
And I met a fan of the show that knew me his foot on the show, and he's telling the story of when Anthony's brother Joe was in the Army, comes back from the Army, and his buddies come up about 2 weeks later that bring all these Army simulators of, like, M1 tanks and howitzers and stuff like that, all these explosives and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe, there was a howitzer tank simulator.
Right.
Which is a simulator of a tank exploding. And Anthony's brother goes, don't touch that. Don't screw around with it, you guys. Keep away from it. It's like, we're not going to screw with it. Well, I got to go to practice. Have a nice day. He takes off. We grab the thing, and we go to CVS. We get wire and all this stuff to hook it up. And we go down to the high school, And I see Anthony with these two wires, putting the wires together, and you just see boom, and him flying through the air in the moonlight.
That was flying through the air,
and he's on the ground checking that he's got all his body parts. Body parts. He's checking all his body parts, and that was the story told in the air. This guy at the show is telling me the story. Oh yeah, you heard that story? And he goes, yeah. And the guys left those tank simulators. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. And then we go, and he starts brushing me off for him to tell the story.
He wants to tell the story.
The story. And then he's going, yeah. Then you went down. They went down to the high school. Yeah, No. And he went there, and he goes, and then the guy in the hill was watching Anthony, and I'm like, yeah, no. I go, dude, I was the guy in the hill.
Let me take over.
I was the dude, you know.
Well, the chat has weighed in. Scamming Scammer says embellished. Morgane says truth. And then Scamming Scammer's reports, if someone has a good sense of humor and quick-witted, a long-winded embellished story is hilarious.
Exactly. But if somebody's telling a straight story, which is the truth, sometimes it could drone on. You want to gnaw your arm off to get away from it.
Now, I will say the other side of Kumia, he will embellish. Because I called him on that. I'm sure I don't know if you remember, but we used to do our show. Well, you remember this. We used to do our show at his studio, The Compound, and everything. And Anthony.
Remember.
I don't remember. No, you were drunk sometimes.
Yes.
And Anthony and I, occasionally we get into these political discussions.
Yeah.
And so I guess Anthony went on his show, Opie and Anthony. I didn't hear it live. But I get a call from somebody who did hear it live go, hey, man, Anthony's talking about you and your show on the air, and he's saying how you're always pro-Obama, and, like, you know, Obama can do no wrong, and I'm this real lefty guy, this, that, and the everything. But and Anthony's like, if I wasn't for free speech, I would just kick him out. So I hear this, and I go, really?
I never knew that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you were there, Joe.
I didn't know.
I go, really? So we're doing our show.
Yeah.
I think it was the next day or that day. We're doing the show. Anthony's sitting, you know, approximately about a couple of feet away from me. You, me, Pip, we're doing our show.
Right.
So I go, hey, Ant, I hear we were mentioned on the show today. I hear you said this pro-Obama guy, always sticking up for him, could do no wrong. I go, you know that's not true. I go, I don't do that. And Anthony goes, well, sometimes I lie.
To make a story interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So he'll embellish.
To make a story interesting.
Threw me under the bus, lied about me. But yeah. You know what? I think it depends on who's telling the story and what you want out of the story. If you're sitting around the campfire, you kind of want a little embellishment.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? If there's a story, hey, the dog bit me. I need the facts. I don't need to know, well, it was a werewolf.
Yeah.
And I don't need to know that.
Well, you ain't going to call bullshit on that.
If it's Halloween, maybe I don't, Joe.
Yeah, scary story time, then.
Sure.
It works.
Trucker Tom remembers that. That's what you love about Trucker Tom. He's been with us for so long. I even call the icons out. It was funny how he responded to that, though. Anthony, didn't backpedal. Just, I lie.
He died right. He doesn't believe me. He doesn't bullshit.
I wish I could have called in and, like, I'm really, really stupid, but I didn't know what was going on. All right. This is another one. Didn't see anybody important, so you wear the same clothes the next day.
I'm sorry?
So say you put on an outfit.
Right.
You really didn't see anybody. You wore it out.
Right.
You really didn't see anybody, though. You didn't wear it to work. Say it was the weekend, whatever.
Right.
You didn't wear it to work. You liked the outfit. You didn't see anybody worth seeing. You put it on the next day.
Yes, I would do that.
You do that.
Yeah. Here's the deal, though. And it's amazing how you say, wouldn't see somebody the next day.
BuzzFeed said it.
But let's say, a matter of fact, I'll give you an example. If I'm wearing something at a club, let's say I'm working Thursday at the brokerage.
Right.
And I wear a black shirt, black pants, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm working at McGuire's the next night. I'll wear the same outfit because it's a different club. Who cares?
But it's not the audience that's going to see the same thing. But you wear, if you were working the same club, but you're worried about what management, the waitress is going to say.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, really, you couldn't change?
See, I don't do that. If I've worn it, I've worn it. Unless I've only worn it for a few hours and I haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
But if I wear something, once it leaves the house, it's impure. It needs to hit the washing machine.
It depends. Like this outfit, I'll wash. There's some things if I knew I didn't get dirty or do anything disgusting or anything like that. But here's the deal. I'm going to embellish this. With the advent of Facebook, when you go to a party, or when you do a band gig or something like that, because everything is so much pictures are on Facebook, or go to a compound party or something like that, I always make sure I wear something different because I don't want to be seen on Facebook wearing the same thing.
You're
all
a
the
chick.
Time.
I can't wear that dress.
Believe me. You don't know how many times I'm in my closet going, come on, Paris, figure something out. I'm like, I go, I really, I'm in.
Oh,
like,
I don't do that.
There are a lot of times I'm in my closet going, you are a faggot and a half. Because I wear a short, like if I go like a Memorial Day party, I make sure I don't wear the same thing that I wear at a 4th of July party, because there's going to be all sorts of Facebook pictures. And I'm like, you are.
You think of all the debauchery that's going on at that place, the compound. You think what you're wearing is going to register in people's minds?
Yeah, I want to look just so.
All right, Joe.
Hey, all right.
I'm not arguing. Listen, these are things we all do.
You just said, all right, Joe. And you know what? I agree with that. Pathetic, yes. there's no fight. No, yeah, pretty pathetic, I know.
Man,
you're right.
I mean,
and I'm sorry, one more thing. The way you said that, I say that to myself when I'm doing
that. That's fine.
All right, Joe.
You're right. Fine, man. It says 10 things we all do. It's not something I do. Like I said, if I leave the house, chances are it's done. It needs to go in the hamper. But that's just me.
Right.
If I'm wearing it in the house for an hour or two, I might wear it.
Sometimes I wear my work clothes during the day. I mean, I always wash my work clothes, but it is a lot of wear and tear on the clothes.
Sitting on your ass, taking calls is a lot.
No,
of
washing them. Not, and don't get me wrong. Let me explain.
No, I know how washing machines work, Joe. I think most of our audience does.
Like I don't wash it for a month, but I mean, if I wear it,
you don't use a board and a stone to wash your clothes, do you, Joe?
No, but on some clothes, if you wash them a lot, they wear out quicker. However, I do wash my clothes a lot.
So, funny. The same thing goes with jokes, but that doesn't stop you. Keep on going right. Jokes, old references, you keep on throwing them out there, Joe. Anyway. We've all seen them and heard them before. We're like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Telling your friends you're too busy to go out and then staying to lounge around. I've done that. You know, you just not feel like going out. You just want to stay home and watch some TV and eat some pizza. I've done that.
You know what? I go because I think I have a sense, because, and you're an only child as well, but I just have a sense that I need to belong. So if my
they've already asked you, you already belong.
Yeah, but if I know people are hanging out, I have this.
I understand, for me, it's like, am I missing something?
Yes. And I always have the feel that I really need to be there. So I don't do that much.
Fortunately for me, I no longer get invited to a lot of things. So I do not have
that
struggle.
That's part of being a parent, because everybody else's parents in their home.
Yeah, and the things I'm invited to, I really don't want to go to anyway. No. That's part of being an antisocial creep.
Oh, you're an antisocial creep?
I don't like people at
really?
All.
Really? Yeah. I thought I was bad.
No,
and
I mean,
I'm getting worse.
I mean, like I've said this on the air. The wife... always into meeting new parents, new people to hang out with.
Not me.
I'm like, I got friends, and I don't talk to them.
I
talk to you more than anybody.
I don't. You know, it's funny, because I go, like, when things were better with my wife, she has a friend, very nice guy, and he had a big party one night, and I went there, I was there about 20 minutes, I'm like, I got to split. I'm just not used to, I don't like people. I don't like being around people.
Which is why we entertain them for a living.
I understand. Because for some reason, we need acceptance by
them.
Well,
I always say, I used to like people a lot more until I had to start dealing with them in comedy. Because I wanted to be, I was a psych major, I wanted to be a psychologist to help people.
Yeah.
No, not so much.
You know what, though? My feeling towards people is, I've always had walls built up around me.
Yes, but that's usually by us trying to keep you away.
True. But I have, like, metaphysical walls build up around me. And in the past year or so, I've dropped those walls down. And you know what? I'm like, you know what? The walls got to go to look back up.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
All right. So you don't do that. I do that.
Yes.
When I used to have friends. Compliment someone's outfit when you have nothing else to say. That's kind of like, how's the weather? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, because if somebody's put on weight, you don't go, hey, you're looking tubby.
Yeah.
I guess you do. I guess I do that. I mean, this often I don't have a lot to say.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot. You know, if I see, like, the girls at work, like, if I see, one of the girls at work, I go, hey, it's a nice outfit. Nice shoes. If I see them by the coffee machine, hey, nice boots or something like that,
I got to tell you, if somebody doesn't ask me what's going on with my career, I really don't know what to say to people at this point.
We get like that, and it's not an elitist thing. It's just the way things are. I'm going to bring back that party, okay, that party I went to. The people at that party were people that had regular jobs, and I got a regular job. I got to pay my mortgage, but, I mean, they weren't in the entertainment business, okay?
Right.
All of my friends, with the exception of my buddy Dave, are either musicians or comedians or actors. That's what I've been used to for decades.
Right.
So when I go to people that are not, I don't know how to interact. I really don't. I don't have much to say.
I'm just shy and socially awkward. Yeah. Although people don't get that from me. People are always shocked, but I am.
Yeah, but it's funny. Like when bring up the compound again. If I go to a compound party, you know, the people there, I could be talking to a couple of comics and talk about the business, and then I could meet a couple other people, my buddies, and now I'm talking about music and the music business. You know, in general,
it's common interest.
Like it's because it's all what we do.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it to sound elitist. I really don't.
But I don't think it sounds elitist.
That's the environment. It's the environment that I've been in.
It's what we've been bred into.
You know, bred into. So if I go to a person that's party with people that don't do that, and they're not my friends. Like I said, my buddy Dave and his friend, I'll have a great time. But if I don't know them or I don't know what to talk about, I don't want to talk about. You know, I just feel odd because it's just been so the norm.
You don't know how to be normal.
I don't know how to be normal.
I'm at
the company Christmas party. We had the company Christmas party. I had to work on a couple of things. I go in to the training room where they have it, and it's a mob scene in there. So I grab my plate of food and I go sit in the break room and watch TV by myself.
That is odd. You're not even trying because
there was no place to sit. And I'm like, you want to know something? I'm going to watch that. And I'm watching TV in the break room.
You know, people do eat and stand at the same time.
I know. But I go, it's just my antisocial behavior.
That's weird. People would talk about that.
You know what? A couple of people saw me, and I go, people, why are you? I go, because there's really no place to sit. And then I'm sitting there watching TV. Now I'm done eating, and I go, I really should go in because this is weird.
It is weird. You came here to watch.
It scares me because I'm just very antisocial, and I'm just happiest when I'm alone. That's the problem, man, with my marriage and stuff like that. I want to be alone. I'm getting to the point in my life where I think I'm just going to be happy just being alone.
All right. Let's see. Winning arguments in your shower. I usually do that in the car. It's usually something a booker says to me. But yeah, in the shower, you know, you're not really washing yourself. You know, and the next time, and I said, bup, 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 bup. Yeah, because it's quiet time. It's quiet time.
I'm in the car.
All right, but you do play out arguments in alone time.
Yes.
Things you should have said.
And the funny thing is,
it's usually with me.
I'll bring arguments that are not even like on the table. Just that I thought of.
You're working up issues.
I'm like,
I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell this person this just to antagonize them. And when they respond, I'm already prepared.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
You, when it comes to arguments, Joe Curry does extra credit.
Yeah. I'm picking things up like...
Joe, this argument isn't on the syllabus. I came prepared.
Yeah.
I did extra work. That is weird.
Yes.
That is weird.
Yes.
Yet I win most of our arguments, which is weird because you're usually very well prepared, as it turns out.
Well, because these are the arguments that I usually have aren't pertaining to what we're dealing with our other arguments.
All right. Being relieved when you get home and nobody else is there. Yeah, guilty.
Yes.
Cause now with me, I want peace and quiet. I don't need to talk. I just want to watch what I want to watch.
Yes.
You too?
Yeah, because when my wife is home, I just feel like it's just going to be, for the past year and a half, it's just been very tense in my house. And when I get home alone, I'm like, good, I don't have to deal with anything. I don't have to, you know, get yelled at or anything like that. And I like to be alone. I feel, when I don't see anybody there, I like to feel alone. And you want to know something? It's not good. You know, I know it's not good. You know, that I'm really committing myself to be alone for the rest of my life. You know, kind of sad, but it makes me happy.
If it makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think you're going to be alone. I just don't know if you're ever going to move in with somebody again. I think you need your own space.
I've always had my own space. That's the thing.
That's part of the only child.
Only kid and being a latchkey kid. You know, I've been alone. Essentially, I've been alone and looking after myself since I was 12.
It's a long time.
You know, and it's been just business as usual. And it carried into my marriage where I do my own shopping. I do my own wash. I do everything by myself. Okay, yeah, because it's just been the way I've been doing it since I was 12.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, sometimes you get home from a busy day of work and you're like, you know what, I just don't want to be bothered with anybody. I don't think we're alone with that.
Well, again, it's 10
things we all do.
Well, so. The thing is, and it's kind of a rule, boy, therapy helps, it's kind of a rule that I've carried into my adult life, and you don't realize how many things you pick up from your parents, good or bad. My mother would come home, And for 30 minutes, you couldn't say anything to her. Now, the poor
she
woman,
needed her decompression
she
time.
Needed to comp- which I've always understood. And like I said, my wife, I'll come home. Did you do this? I go, I just walked in the door.
I remember my dad being like that, too. Like, geez, I just walked in the door. But everybody has so many issues that only you can solve.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And she'll do that. She'll do that as soon as I wake up. You got any gigs tonight? You doing a show? I go, I've been up 37 seconds. And you've seen what I'm like when I'm up 37 seconds.
Yeah. How does she not know, though? All she has to do is check your multiple Facebook pages.
I unfriended her.
That's not something we all do.
Yeah.
We don't all unfriend our wives.
Yes, I unfriended her.
Okay. All right.
I told you things aren't good.
Clearly not. Yeah. If you can't be a Facebook friend with your wife, what can you be?
Yeah, I unfriended her.
I guess you guys won't be playing Farmville together.
No.
Guess you won't be asking her to feed the chickens, Joe. Guess that responsibility is going to go to somebody else. And if that's coming to me, then I'm going to unfriend you. Because I do not want to feed your chickens. I am not going to feed. I got enough real animals to feed. I do not need to feed your stupid cyber chickens.
I got to go to the supermarket to buy food for real people. And I got to do it for invisible people. Yeah. Facebook people.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Sprawling in an unflattering position to surf the net. I don't really know what that... I usually sit down at a table.
I sit down at a table.
I mean, sure, I got myself in my hand, but but some would say it's very flattering.
No, I sit in a chair.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I guess maybe if you got a tablet or something like that.
Yeah, but what are you, going down on yourself? I don't understand.
You're lying on the couch.
You got your finger up your ass? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Oh, listen, Amazon is not that exciting.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
This one I bet you do. I bet you do this one. Stockpiling free samples. Like you're an old 80-year-old woman stockpiling sweet and low.
Not really.
Really? I figured you being the cheap Scotsman that you are.
Yeah. No, not really.
I'll tell you what, when I'm at the Costco or whatever and they got the free food, I might make a lap or two.
Okay. Now, stockpiling stockpiling free samples, do you mean while you're at the store?
They didn't differentiate, but it's our show.
All right, so for the sake of argument, let's make it at the store. I do that now. I don't belong to Costco anymore, but I used to. Yeah,
because they kicked you out.
No,
stop taking all the free meatballs.
Yeah, right. No, but believe me, I was like a shark going around that joint. Dun 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 dun. You know, the old biddy would pick up that I'm there for my fourth meatball. You know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not one to, I don't throw them out, but I don't really have a whole collection of soy sauce containers. I mean, we throw them out when they come. I know we have some, you know, when they come with the Chinese food.
Oh, right. I could get a container. Yeah, okay. Well, that's condiment, more like
condiments.
It depends. It depends what I need. If I've got, like, packets of ketchup, you know, and if I have enough, I'm like, throw them out. Or if I have a duck sauce, I'll keep duck sauce because I got a bottle of soy sauce, so it depends on it.
Duck sauce, so Joe Curry is not going to make the commitment of going to the supermarket and buying a jar of duck sauce. Duck sauce is used so infrequently in the Curry household that the Chinese restaurant can supply the family's duck sauce.
Yes, because it's on, yeah, because I don't, yeah, you explained it perfectly.
Ketchup, something you use more frequently as your Aquila attests to, that is something that Joe will buy the bottle of.
Yeah, but I don't use that much ketchup anymore because I've been.
Then change the act. Change the act. I'm tired of the joke. It doesn't ring true.
It is a good joke.
I didn't say it wasn't a good joke. Right. I said I'm tired of it. I've seen you wear that joke before.
But I don't use that much ketchup anymore. I really don't. I don't really eat things now that I don't eat burgers that much. I don't eat, you know, stuff like that where I need a lot of ketchup.
All right. Let's see. Terror and fear. Somebody looks at your browsing history. Guilty. Oh, God. You really need to know how to delete your cookies.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, you creeps. We know what you're up to out there listening. You bunch of creeps that are internet savvy.
Let me tell you something. It was like it was last year. And you go, why don't we just leave your computer here, and my wife will take a look at it and see if she can figure it out. And I'm like, oh, boy, I can't wait to the look on her face when I walk in the house next week. She's going to be like, you disgusting piece of shit.
Well, she used to work. I got her a job where she was actually working for the computers at the mortgage company that I was working at years ago.
Right.
And a lot of Jews
right.
in the company, a lot of Hasidic Jews. The story she would tell me on some of these people, just a bunch of filthy animals. And I don't mean people. I mean they were sending pictures of people doing filthy animals. Bestiality pictures are going all over the internet back and forth to these people. And they got them in their search history.
Holy smoke. At work?
Yes! And it wasn't like everybody had a private cubicle.
You got to be kidding. See, at work, you got to watch what you do there.
Well, now you do. Mm. But, I mean, I guess they weren't so savvy.
As a matter of fact, there'll be times where, like, if let's say we got the show and there might be an article I didn't get a chance to look at. And
I find that hard to believe.
And I'll download the article. And you see the stuff we do. And I'm like, and I'll do it at work and print it. And I'm like, holy cow. I got to get to the copy machine before somebody else does.
Yeah, listen, I got a very sophisticated wife when it comes to computers. Mm. There are things that I need to research. If we're playing Name That Orgasm, for instance,
yes.
Which maybe I'll do next week if I get time. Always a fun game. But you can't explain to your wife why you need the Mexican midget orgasming. It's hard. Well, honey, we're playing a game. It's really not that important.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Why do you need the redheaded amputee from Poland to orgasm? Well, because it's a bit. I'm doing it for the people. I don't do it for my
enjoyment.
Well,
you better hope it's for the show, because if it's not, you're a creep.
All right. Well, who said I'm not? I am willing to sacrifice my purity and integrity as a human being for our audience.
I got a question for you.
Well, you usually do.
The redheaded amputee, was she hot?
Not bad.
Cool.
She was half of what I thought she'd be.
I'll give you that one. You get that one. You get a gold star. You get a gold star on that one. I got eyes like that.
And now it's a best of.
Now it's a best of. Now we can't say that, so I have to move the clip too far back and space that out.
Yeah, that was unprepared.
Oh.
Oh, shit. I've actually never looked at it, to be honest. I've never looked at amputee porn, although I know it's out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not that I'm against amputations. Listen, I'm as pro-amputation as the next guy.
Right.
It's just not something that appeals to me personally, sexually.
Yeah.
You know, listen, if I was with a woman and she lost a limb, I would not stop being with her because she lost a limb.
Right.
You know, we'd have to learn some new positions, probably.
Yeah, because you'd fall over, because there's nothing to brace yourself on.
Well, I mean, I think doggy style is out of the question. I think doggy style is the one position you really can't do anymore.
It's called doggy hit by a car style.
What am I going to do, put a cone on her head so she can't lick herself, Joe?
Wouldn't that be great trying to have sex with cones on? That would be kind of fucked up.
I think cones are important if you're going to have sex with a prostitute, because you're not supposed to kiss a prostitute. So everybody has to wear a cone so you can't get close enough. You're not supposed to have oral intimacy with a prostitute.
That's genius.
It is genius. This is what I bring to the table.
Yes.
People don't understand this. Yeah. People think we do serious investigative work.
I, you know what? If you start writing porn again.
No, sir. I did not write porn. It was me and my Ghanaian girlfriend.
What I would do is have them wear cones on their heads. And see, it's the new version of safe sex that I'm working on, and I need them to wear cones, so please come up with something.
I am sure at some point when I was talking to Agnes/Belinda, I am sure at some point I mentioned amputee porn, because it does ring a bell.
But I tell you, you got... Yeah,
Trucker Tom would probably remember. He remembers all. Yeah, He's our Wikipedia of this.
I need a spec script in 3 days, have him in cones.
Have him in cones. No, not traffic cones. What's wrong with you?
Hold on. Let me read the side, see if I like it. Might be good.
African porn is always a good time, isn't it, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. Last one on the list. Pretending to text to avoid talking or interacting with somebody. I've seen it a lot. I usually when I'm approaching somebody, I don't know if I really do that though. I do try to look busy, but I
I don't do that, but I'll do maybe something else to make it look like I'm, you know, busy or something like that.
Like what? Shuffle your papers around?
Well, let's see. I got my neighbor next door. My neighbor next door is a very nice lady. I've known her since I was a kid. But
it's an old neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's decades. She's a nice lady. She was very good friends with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
They used to commute together and stuff like that. But when you wind up talking with her, you're done for an hour. So I'll...
You're done.
You're done for an hour.
You're spent.
You're done for an hour. You're an hour easy with her. So I don't text, but I'll pretend I'm on the phone and I'll wave.
Yeah. I don't think that's the same. I guess it is. You're pretending.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be... It's pretending, and that goes to the antisocial behavior.
Yes.
I think we all do that.
Yes. So I would, you know...
All right. Shall we take our break?
Why not?
Take our little break. We'll take our 10-minute break. Then we'll come back with our scam-busting stuff. Get into that. Get into this whole controversy, as it will. And then we'll try to do a little... scamming the scammers. We'll visit our friends in Africa.
Right. Hopefully Miss Helix will be joining, getting her tire problems out of the way, and she'll join us at a remote location to help us out.
I think it'll be her house.
Yes.
We can all go there. So, yeah, we will be back in 10. Right now, we're going to listen to Chillbone. This is off their 2002 release, Try and Act Normal, which is, I think, what we've been talking about.
Nice, nice fitting way to end the segment.
We'll be back in 10.
For the Port Duel! That is right, Port Duel of Davin's Den. We are not tired. We are ready to roll to give you some more extra. So stick around with Davin and Pip and Joe as the party continues. There is no reason to leave. Sit down. Kick back. Take off your shoes. Phew, phew. Okay, okay. Put shoes back on. They stink. Okay. So what was I saying? Oh, yes. Stick around for extra because we are here at Davin's Den for Park Duel.
And we are back. You are listening to the one, the only, the never duplicated, because really, who would want to? Davin's Den. I'm Davin Rosenblatt. Joe Curry's with us.
Hello. Good evening.
We spoke to Pip Helix. We expect Pip to join us via the telephone and hopefully in the den pen in about half an hour, sometime inside of a half an hour. So we'll get Pip in a little bit. You guys on break, we're listening to Chillbone off their Try and Act Normal album. You listen to Mystic Booty, The Bear, and the last song was Gift from Bootsy.
That's good stuff, man. Those guys rock.
I know. You like them a lot.
Yeah.
Before we went to break, we were talking about whether what does it mean to look like a parent and act your age, and 10 things that everybody does. And it turns out we do a lot of those things.
To some extent or another.
Sure, sure. So what we like to do, we like to turn our focus on this part of the show, is to some of the things that go on the internet, the world of cybercrime and everything, where we scam scammers and we report what's going on. So we like to do a little segment called Scam Busters. And Joe, do you want to hear the whole Scam Busters? The whole long Megillah, as they say.
That's up to you, because it depends on your mood every week on how long of the song that you will play.
Depends on my mood and how much time we got to fill.
How much time we got. So let's see. I want to be surprised. Let's see where you are right now, my
friend. I'd like everybody to get up and remove one chair less than the people you're hanging out with and play musical chairs with Joe's version of Scam Busters.
Scams. I ain't afraid of no scams. You seen I love you running through your head. Who you gonna call? Scam Busters!
And that's when you call us.
Ah!
Yeah, let it go a little bit.
All
right. Do you want to hear more?
No, usually sometimes you go the full Monty, not so much.
I was thinking about that because we are trying to wait for Helix and everything.
Yes.
But there is a lot to cover.
Gotcha.
There is a lot to cover. I have a very lengthy interview that I want to play tonight, so I want to give the background story on
gotcha.
This. So, so let's get right to this. I'm going to try. The reason, for those of you, I mean, we have a lot of fans that are in the scamming, anti-scamming community, but we also have other fans, and the reason bringing this up, because I don't want it to be too inside baseball, inside anti-scamming, mm-hmm. as it goes. But it goes back to what we always say on this show. It's the internet. You really have to be careful who you trust.
Oh, yeah.
You really have to do your research.
Oh, yeah.
And if something strikes you as fishy, all the more reason to delve deeper on your own to find out. Mm-hmm. You know, if it strikes you as bad, you probably should stay away from it.
Yes.
It's like a piece of fish. if the piece of fish doesn't taste right, you should probably stop eating it. Now,
stop.
I know. As stop. I was saying this.
Bad example.
I know.
Man who we go on the road. We go on a Subway. He eats tuna fish. He goes, this kind of tastes funny. I go, give it back and get another sandwich and get something else. No, this is all right. Really?
I wasn't really? Feeling well. I was tired.
It was really feeling worse. That fish was bad.
I figured here's another ailment. Let's throw this in. All right. So a lot of the report that we're about to discuss doesn't come from us. We didn't do this. We didn't do the initial report, a lot of the follow-up work. We do a lot of our own reports, a lot of our own investigating, and we'd like to think we further the story with the stuff we're going to have. But a lot of the groundwork, not us. A lot of the stuff that I'm about to go through, it can be found on romancescam.com. That was one of the places I found it. And also the Facebook page, Scam Page, has a lot of this as well. Now, it's also been regurgitated on a lot of the anti-scam Facebook pages, but I believe those two, and I could be wrong, so somebody can correct me, but I believe those two were the origins of a lot of this. I like to give credit because, you know, I don't want to steal other people's stuff.
Well, no, I understand. We're a very honest show.
Sure.
We're very honest.
That's why we say how much we think about ourselves, because we truly believe it. All right. So, up until very recently, within, I want to say, a past month, for the most part, a highly respected anti-scam YouTube page and blog was put together by this by a person who goes by Ann Jackson. She also goes by Claire Williams and more. She has a bunch of names. She's actually a Japanese woman.
Why is that?
Why does she go through a bunch of names?
That's correct, yes.
You know what? Maybe it's part of the scam. I don't know. I know a lot of the anti-scam community has aliases for their scam baiting so people don't find out who they are. Gotcha. So it could be something as honest as, listen, I'm putting all these things about scammers out there. I'm a scam hunter. I don't want them knowing who I really am. Mm-hmm. Or it could be something more deceptive. Okay. I don't know.
Understood.
Right. I don't know. Again, you know, I report. You guys decide. But yeah, she has a bunch of names that she goes by. Right. For the purposes of what we're going to do, I'm going to refer to her as Ann Jackson, because that is one of her names, but she's actually a Japanese woman living in Japan, and I don't think the Japanese name their kids Ann or Jackson.
No.
All right. So she was known, because she put out really informative blogs and YouTube videos, as one of the leading people in fighting the anti-scams. Really good sort of source of information. Recently, though, it's come to light that perhaps, Joe, perhaps she's working both sides of the fence. Maybe she's providing this information while also feeding people who seek her because she says that she can help victims get their money back. Maybe she's feeding them to another scammer and a reload scam.
Lately, this has come to light. Now, the people that are notifying with these allegations, are these reputable people? See, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, how do I know?
How do you know that these?
Well, that's why. To be honest with you, I've known about this for. I knew about this before last week, and last week is when we came back from our break. I had not really done any of my own reporting or own investigating.
Yes.
At that part, so yeah, I was kind of skeptical, but I was. But again, on these sites, I did see a lot of evidence, but you know, if I was going to report on something, I wanted to have something that we could add to the conversation. So it's a valid question. How do I know? Because as we know, people will attack people for no good reason, for jealousy.
We
get attacked by morons.
But still, we get attacked, and we have, you know, you've got to look and vilify where that information is coming from.
And I'll be honest with you, there could be an element of that. You know, listen, we're going to go through everything. We're going to go through what's been reported, which is what I'm doing now. Our conversations that I've had with Ann, and the interview that I had, and you folks can decide. It's not up for me. Maybe it'll clarify some things. Maybe it won't.
Okay,
I don't know. But yeah, so these allegations came that she was working both sides of the fence, feeding victims to scammers and what they call reload scams, where they would send money to try to get back their money.
Right.
All right. So, but she was noted as posting valuable information. She claims she worked with the FBI and the Interpol, and she claims success in helping victims retrieve lost money from the scammers, which is very rare, because to be honest...
Retrieve lost money? How? The scammers give it back?
Working with the FBI, the Interpol, they catch them, and they get the money back.
Okay.
You know, they bust... You know, if you're working with the FBI or the Interpol, the IC3, with authorities, theoretically it could happen. It does happen! There are cases where people have retrieved money. It's few and far between.
I'm assuming rare cases.
Listen, I mean, I've seen enough articles, you know, we're coming out of Nigeria where they've arrested some people. It's not happening every day.
Right.
It could happen, though. Mm-hmm. And you know what? A victim, if you lost $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $100,000, you'd like to think you can get your money back.
Right.
And if this person's claiming success and saying, I know this person and that person, and nobody's questioning it, mm-hmm. you might do it. Mm-hmm. You might do it. And you look at the videos and the blogs, it seems like she knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. So why not? She up until a while ago, she was a person you could trust. I never really checked out her stuff, but I had heard of her. Mm-hmm. I heard of her reputation. So so what happens is a baiter contacts Anne. A baiter is somebody who is pretending, is trying to scam a scammer. For lack of a better word. Somebody who puts themselves out there to try to create a scenario where they manipulate, like a scammer would, but to see what happens. But they're baiting. It's not to get money out of this person, but to see what happens. See if a person's legitimate or not.
I got you.
You know, we've done stuff like
that.
I mean, I really don't bait. They kind of find me.
We're masters at it.
Uh-huh. Joe, you really got a handle on that one, didn't you? Anyway. You know, you could have a serious conversation. Doesn't mean you can't have terrible jokes. And I think that's what we stand for.
There you go.
Right. So a baiter contacts Anne for help in retrieving money from scammers. The baiter is given a couple of people, and I'm not saying the baiter's name, because I'm not sure if I know this one. I might know this one, but either way, I have not been told one way or the other that they want credit for it. So some people like to name anonymous. I mean, I have spoken with some baiters on this, so that's why I'm not naming names. I'm not trying. If somebody wants
to pull the cover.
Exactly. If somebody wants to post in the chat who this person is and they know this person wants to be revealed, that's fine. But I have not been told one way or the other, so I'm going to err on the side of caution with that. Mm-hmm. So baiter contacts Anne for help in retrieving money from scammers. The baiter is given a couple of people to contact from the alleged agencies, from Interpol, from the FBI, mm-hmm. from the United Nations. That's another one. Baiter is told it will cost money to open the case and retrieve money. In reality, I and most people have never seen that where a government agency asks for money to open a
case.
That's
a red flag.
It should be. It's not on the IC3 page, which is the FBI's page. And if you think about it, in these cases, if the country of Ghana or Nigeria or the United States or France or Australia is persecuted, it's not you. The person who's the prosecution. It's the state. It's the government of that country who's bringing the case against these scammers. Mm-hmm. So there's no real reason why you would. But I can't find absolute evidence that it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of it happening. I talked to somebody in the Pentagon, said they would be skeptical. Whatever.
I would be skeptical,
too. Especially you're dealing with people who presumably have lost all their money.
All their money. And somebody's coming along, and I could find these people. It's going to cost money. How much more can you take?
Well, people are desperate, Joe. People make bad decisions. But, I mean, you know, let's be honest. A lot of the subject matter that we're dealing with are people that are desperate for something in their life one way or the other.
To vilify what happened.
Whatever the case is. Listen, if you're online looking for love, not that you're desperate, but whatever you're doing is not working. It's the same thing if you're trying to get your money. If you try to get it back on yourself and nobody is helping you and you see this beacon of light, you're kind of desperate. You're going to kind of trust them. Finally, somebody will validate me, what's going on, and maybe help me. It's a desperate situation.
Right. At that point, working like that, it's what we just discussed when we started the show and what we discuss every week. Do your research. Look into it. Find out.
Yeah. All right. So an alleged IC3, that's the FBI's mm-hmm. cybercrime unit.
That's a cool name.
Okay, maybe they'll have like 30 IC3. Versions.
IC3.
They'll have like 30 versions of that on NBC. And yeah. IC3 Miami.
IC3
PO. Anyway. Star Wars jokes. Alleged I3C states the following to the baiter. If they can pay fast to IC3 Interpol Ghana, the case will be open immediately, and they will arrest and withdraw all funds from them within these days, as they are still with the funds, IC3 says. It will cost $2,500. So what they're saying is hurry up and do it. They found the scammers. If you do it immediately, we found the scammers. They still have the money. We can get your money back. It's going to cost you $2,500.
That's another red flag. That's another red flag. It's almost like when you see something on an infomercial. Act today. All right? And number two, you just mentioned that these government agencies really don't use the funding. So they're telling you
not
that
from
for
what I've seen.
You know, $2,500 for the funding and act now. That's like two red flags.
That's how that local splash got me. They put the pressure. It's a sales pressure pitch. But again, you're talking about somebody who presumably has lost everything. You know, the person they loved is not who they thought they were, and now they're out this money. You're not thinking straight. You're not thinking straight. So I get it.
And it goes back. It goes back to what we were saying with people that are trying to bait the scammers and all this, and a lot of the scammer groups. Pick somebody that is thinking clearly, that doesn't have an agenda.
It's hard to find out, but that's why I tell you, research. That's
research,
why,
and right there.
That's why we always say on this show, ask us anything you want. We have nothing to hide.
Right, and if anybody, you know, the people that are listening, if you get something like this, it could be legit, but I must restate that you need to do your homework on this.
Well, I mean,
don't act emotionally on this.
You know, a lot of the people that do listen know this now, and we are educating some people.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, there's, you know. So I3, you know. Well, you know what? Nothing. Read the stupid script, stupid. As I chastise myself, I should punish myself with the punishment song.
No, I think you did fine. Damn song.
You did fine. All right. IC3 proceeds to give non-government addresses to the victim, meaning Gmail, not official government email addresses. Mm. Now, to be fair, that is another red flag.
Yes.
That being said, the person who I'm talking with in the Pentagon, I have initially contacted him through his official site. He has also given me a non-official email address. But again, my first contacts with him were from, you know, a .mil, mm-hmm. which is a military, mm-hmm. you know, handle. So, yeah, I mean, if somebody who's claiming, it's another red flag if somebody's supposed to be an official government or agency business and they're giving you a Yahoo or a Gmail or whatever. It's another red flag.
That's three red flags so far in this.
Yeah. So now Ann steps in, mm-hmm. pressures the beta to hurry up and comply with the authorities. So now you get this person who you've come and sought out, and now they're trying to go, listen, you really need to do this. They're going to get away. You really need to do this. So, and this person, Ann Jackson, you presumably trusted.
Like our PR department. But
what PR department?
Yeah.
I'm the PR department at this point. Let's see how good I am with that. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, a little inside fire. Sorry, folks. All right, back to the story.
So then the baiter is told somebody by the name of Cotton Brown from an email at cyberservices.com that the scammers have been apprehended in Ghana and he must send $2,500 to the Interpol in Ghana to David Moore. That's what the baiter's told. So, Cotton Brown's your official contact. Send it to somebody named David Moore. The baiter offers to send money directly to the bank account, is told that will take a little too long and must use Western Union.
Red flag 4.
Actually, no, Joe, they're our future sponsor.
Red flag 5 because of this Cotton Brown. That to me is red flag 4. Western Union is red flag 5.
All right, so the baiter comes up with a cockamamie story of why I can't get to Western Union. Says they're having medical issues and everything. Mm-hmm. Can't get to Western Union. So the people that are in contact with the baiter finally relent and provide two different bank accounts for transfer. The baiter runs Brown around and never sends money. Brown gets upset, and a few days later, Ann contacts the baiter and offers help. So the Brown, they got upset. No money was ever sent, but that's pretty much was the first bait. Mm. Next thing I'm about to read, again, not my work. This was given to me. This is by our own, name your own Pip, come up with your own Pip Helix Curmudgeonly Philosophy winner, Mr. G, who's got a bunch of sites, the Blogspot, I think Scam Police is his too. This, he was talking to a Russian lady who had interactions with Anne. Mm-hmm. So this is what this Russian lady was told Mr. G, mm-hmm. and then was forwarded over to me. Again, not my stuff. Mm-hmm. So this victim lost hundreds of thousands of dollars to a fake soldier and then approached Anne. Mm-hmm. She said, this is her, she said that I sent my file via the site of Interpol. Maybe it's a clone of real estate. I believed her. This is the woman talking. Not suspect anything wrong. But she wrote that at first I must pay $2,500 and the name of Interpol agent Ghana David Moore for opening my criminal case against these criminals. That's consistent. Mm. Wrote that there is a guarantee to refund my money at least a part. All right. There's a red flag.
Right.
There's no guarantees in any of this.
Right.
But I guess.
Red flag 6.
Well, it's a different story. It's a different. They don't know. These people don't know about each other.
Right.
Right. But I said you keeping
as a total because and you did mention consistent. So in that consistency bar, I would consider this red flag 6.
All right. So the cheaters that cheaters did not spend all the money in the account. They said the cheaters didn't spend all the money in the account. She checked their IP addresses. The IP addresses coincide with Europe and the United States. She says she's very gullible and believes that she communicated with agents of the Interpol. She thought these people were legit. Mm-hmm. Again, there's a certain amount, there's a certain amount of gullibility for any of this. Let's be honest with you.
There's a sort of leap of faith with all of it.
We all do that. I did it with local specialists.
Right.
I did it with our PR department.
The more research you do, the more research you do, the more variables you take out of the equation.
Right.
So if it's everything, if let's say I just made six red flags, if five of them check out, and you still have that benefit of the doubt, but over the five, you might be more inclined to do it, which might not be a bad move because you have to go with a leap of faith.
You're dealing with very desperate, down on, lost faith in everything people, though.
Yes.
You really want this. You know, this is a Hail Mary at this point for you. You really want this to be legit.
Well, because you want vindication.
And
vindication
this
is something that if you get vindication, it might, you can move on with your life.
And let's remember, if you ask people in the anti-scam community about this person, Ann Jackson, up until very recently, they would have said she's great. You go to her blogs, you go to the YouTube account, all that great information. So, I mean, she has established credibility
mm-hmm.
to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that going for you, for her. So she believes she communicates with the agents of the Interpol, especially David Moore, U.S. citizen. She said, called me to make sure when and how much I paid. Although I myself badly speak in English, I can distinguish accent. This is an American. So she's claiming. His speech was purely American. Say, hey, forget about it. No. Something a scam would never say.
No.
After payment, they wrote me that I had several scams. The main scammer is broken in Nigeria. I guess that means they got him in Nigeria. That they froze the scammer's accounts, and soon they'll be able to send my money back. Good news.
Soon. What's soon? What's the definition of soon?
I don't know.
Soon could be in 2 days. Soon could be in 6 months. Soon could be in 4 years.
I guess. But soon I again get the message from Mr. Cotton Brown. My money is on frozen account, and that to get to them, I have to pay 10% of the total amount. That is $5,500. So they've upped the money. You're shaking your head, but that doesn't translate on radio.
That's a red flag number 7.
All right. She goes, I asked to send me a confirmation from the bank that my money there and exists. Brown sent me from the United Bank for Africa bank warrant. I went to the website of the bank, made the request. The bank responded that they did not send me anything, nothing unknown about my money, and do not know anything about the frozen accounts and these people.
Mm-hmm.
So now the real bank, she's done the real search. We don't know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. That's what she says. Then it all became clear. I was
now deceiving. The real bank said they have no idea of this frozen account.
No, we never contacted you. We don't have your money.
Red flag 8.
Yeah. She gets a letter from the real bank that after her inquiry, and they tell her this is fraud. Jackson tells her they are mistaken. There are many departments, and she needs to talk to Brown and Moore. That's what Ann says. The bank is mistaken. Happens all the time. It's happened before. You need to go back down to Brown and Moore. Okay.
Red flag number 9.
So you think this woman's dirty?
From the allegedly, from the evidence that I'm seeing, it doesn't sound legit. It sounds like something is fishy here.
It does sound like something's fishy. So somebody provided me Ann's email address. So I contacted Ann, and I've been emailing with her back and forth. And this is just I just did a real quick summary of all this stuff because mm-hmm. I didn't want to read all the emails.
Mm-hmm.
She claims she has received death threats and is very distraught over this whole situation. She has been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
At least, I'm seeing that online. And I can understand that.
It just reeks of a scam.
It's not something I would personally do.
No.
You're not personally going to see me attacking anybody on the internet because I think I would lose all credibility.
I understand. Send the money. Hurry up and send the money. Contact this person. Who is this person? Just contact this person. The bank says the money's there. You called the bank. The bank says, we don't know what you're talking about. Then they say, oh, no, you got to talk to this person. Who is this? Does this person work for the bank? You had the bank actually telling you, we know nothing about this. And I'm sorry, one more thing. Now they're upping the money as a percentage to mm-hmm. get the original amount back. There's so much damning stuff in this that I, from the evidence that I'm seeing right at this very moment without Ann's response, this sounds like a scam.
That is the popular consensus, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
But, We're here to report both sides. I've been trying to get Ann on the show. Mm-hmm. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. Obviously, if I can get her on the show, you'll hear that next week. Mm-hmm. But at least I have stuff from her.
Right.
Which, as far as I can tell, not much else has been able to happen. Nobody else has been able to get that.
Right.
But, you know, cool for us. We seem to get lucky talking to the people that nobody else can talk to. The people that can really do things for our show, not so much. Can't talk to them, but.
What are you going
to do? I'll hire the wrong people not to make
do?
It happen.
Number two, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Making lists tonight.
What are you going to do? Why don't you people send me $2,500 so I feel better about this?
Yeah, right.
All right. The victims want to know the truth, waiting for how to get their money back. The official site should post the truth and attention to the victims. You know what? I mean, they should. Again, I haven't seen any place mm-hmm. where they're saying it's going to cost you money. Now, listen, to be fair, if you have a civil case in the United States, there are court fees.
Yes.
I've never been in a criminal case. Although, you know what? Even if you have a traffic violation, there are court fees that you have to pay.
Right.
Is it? I just don't think that the governments are going to make people pay. To go after these criminals.
Right. So here's what you would do. I mean, this person researched the bank, went to the bank. Now, if they're saying the fees, you ask, well, the fees. Well, they're court fees. If there's any way to contact the court there and go, look, here's a case we're working on. Are there court fees? If so, how much?
I guess I could call the Ghanaian court, the Nigerian court. I mean, I've tried to do as much research as I
right.
could on this.
You know, either the court fee, and there might be a court fee could be $150, and they're
looking
for $2,000.
Listen, I really don't think there's fees.
I don't think there's fees.
Wouldn't somebody who knows more about this stuff than us know it? Wouldn't somebody know it? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't somebody go, you know what, this is valid, there are fees?
Yeah. Or she would state the fees. Or if there are fees, here's the list of the Ghanaian court that you can contact.
So she goes, in 2011, I got reply from IC3 Brown first. That's Cotton Brown.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012... I got the reply from Interpol Eric Bohr.
It replies to what? Who is this with the reply?
This is Anne. She is trying to fight these scammers now. She's now she says that she contacted these official pages.
Uh-huh.
And these are the people that got back to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's saying. She said, in 2012, I found there are too many scammers, so I did unrest report to the United Nations and asked for help.
Mm-hmm.
So she's now claiming that she's contacted the FBI, the Interpol, and the United Nations. Mm-hmm. That's what she's claiming. In 2012, IC Brown arrested about 40 scammers. After getting replies from Interpol, Eric, he joined Brown to do an arrest of the scammers or criminals. I found there are too many scammers, so I did unrest report to the UN, the official site. Dr. Melvin, that's the UN guy, replied to me sending two delegates to Interpol Eric and discussing this issue. Last year, 2013, as far as I know, they arrested about 140 criminals or more. So I asked Dan. I said, well, these are pretty lofty claims. Nobody's really claiming that type of success.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen proof? She hasn't seen proof. She hasn't seen proof of the arrests. So I asked her. Doesn't mean that didn't happen. You would think you could track this somewhere, because I know whenever there's an arrest, it pops up on these anti-scam sites. Not whenever, but a lot of times, you know, if they persecute the Nigerian, they caught the Nigerians defrauding a Russian woman.
Apparently, this is just a claim. A claim.
This is all claims.
Right.
But yeah, that, you know, they have claimed to her, Interpol, Eric, IC3, Cotton Brown, that we have made these arrests. So she's taking his truth. She's trusting these people.
Now, these two guys,
yeah.
Have we done research on them? Have you had a chance to do research? Are you getting
a little bit? A little bit.
Okay.
There's more that needs to be done. This is still ongoing.
Okay.
But I didn't want to wait until this all got.
So basically, right now, we have their claim.
Yes.
Now, based on that claim, we can't really make another judgment on this portion of this until we find out about these two folks and are they legit, the background of what they've done, and if they show actual arrest records on their sites or things pertaining to them. So basically, portion of this, this is where we are right now.
I don't know what they would be able to reveal, but I mean, this would make a paper. It would make a paper somewhere that we busted the scamming ring. Mm-hmm. It would make a newspaper. You should be able to, even if it's BS, you should be able to show me a claim. Go, yeah, we did that.
Now, a claim here in the States, a claim in Ghana?
It would probably be in both. But it would it'd be somewhere on the internet.
Okay, on the internet, right. Because somewhere. Maybe in Ghana.
Because it would make the papers in Ghana.
Such a stigma there.
No, it would make the papers. No, because you got to remember that these governments and these Western African nations, mm-hmm. they want to appear to the rest of the world that they're tough on scamming. Mm-hmm. Even though in reality they're not. It's good that they have these trophies once in a while. Go, see, we are doing our
so
good.
Even if they're up to no good, some must die, so some must live. So yeah. If it gets some press out, that's fine. But that works even better for them. All
absolutely.
Right, understood.
All right. So she goes, in fact, I'm considering to shut down my whole video channel, my blog, and one research page on Facebook after all this happened to me. She says she's sending this to them, mm-hmm. and she's telling this to me. After doing much research, I have always had this question in mind. Why does the government have treasury? This is her question that she's asking herself. And then she answers herself. The government has funds after arresting the criminals, freezing their bank accounts, and holding their money. The government put the funds into the treasury if the victims do not apply for it. It is sad that some part of the funds are from victims who sent to the scammers or the money that criminals get from doing illegal transactions. Maybe this is what IC3 Brown wanted to tell me 3 years ago. So I asked her. I said, well, I've never seen any place where any government holds victims' money in the treasury. I said, where have you seen this? Can you show me to where you said you've done the research. Can you show me where you've seen that? I haven't gotten that yet. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get it. Haven't gotten it yet. Asked a couple times. Haven't gotten it yet.
Well, sometimes I think they hold money in the treasury for a victim's money. There's some funds available. If you ever heard some funds that are paid out, you know, in a claim or a class action suit, there's a fund set up for people to make.
This isn't a class action suit, though. That's a civil suit, Joe. I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
But a treasurer has to hold that money.
But why isn't that?
To be accountable. I just read an article about the gentleman that was handling all the claims for Katrina, for 9/11. And so there was a fund set up, and he was the executor. The thing. So there might be a fund. They have to hold the money somewhere. In that respect, we have to give her that.
Well, we have to give her that when she says that she's done the research and she sends me where she's seen it. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm asking for. I'm like, hey, make my job easy.
Right.
Let me help you.
My position is, if it is true, I believe it does. That Treasury fund does exist. However, what's the fund? Where's the link to it? You know, so
that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Listen, I don't have an agenda. I don't have a vendetta with this person. I just want to get it out there.
There's so many red herrings on this, though.
Yes.
That you need, you know, they really need to be addressed.
All right.
I hope you do. I don't want to jump the gun, but I hope you do get to this $2,500 fee that's now being increased, because that's the one thing that really is laying on me.
All right. Then she goes how to help victims. She goes, this is the law enforcement issue. The ICPO, Interpol, and IC3 can behalf the victims to get their money back after they arrest scammers. Offer the evidence and issue this to the court. The court will judge it and then release the funds to the victims. The UN should help the victims, asking the government to release the funds to the victims as soon as possible. I hate the corrupted politicians because maybe they eat these funds. Who knows? So she's saying
they could.
It's possible.
They could. Anything can happen. I mean, you get the money. Who knows what's going to happen with it? I mean, the guy that's holding the treasury could be, you know, there's a lot of corrupt governments. Excuse me.
Yeah.
That could have this. So the possibility's there.
Sure. It's
but
valid.
But the processing fee is the one. I mean, all of this is kind of an explanation.
$2,500 just to get the ball rolling.
That's the thing. I hope there's an explanation for this.
The anti-scam site, she says, the anti-scam sites always say the victims will never get their funds back. Then she replies. Then she says, goes on, if the authorities do not do anything to attention the victims, I swear that I will shut down my channel, my blog, and one research page on Facebook. I do not want people to say I am a fraud, star, or a recovery scammer. After the hunters post me as a recovery scammer, I did cry and not eat. She goes on, I'm pissed off because I am being used by the victims, hunters, and even the authorities. She is playing the persecuted card. Is it real? Is it crocodile tears? I don't know.
If she pulls down everything, then maybe she's got some validity to it.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it, Joe? If all of a sudden everything goes away. Mm-hmm. Then you could argue, the heat got too hot, so she had to do it. She'll reemerge someplace else. Or this woman was legit and said, enough, I can't take it anymore. No way
that,
of no.
It could go either way on this.
I think so far she's proven wise to engage me this far in it. Mm-hmm. I think she would be wiser to do the interview with us so we can ask her these questions. You know, that's what I think. But I think she's doing it. Listen, she's not that she's swaying you, But you're going, okay, well, that might make sense.
She took the time out to answer the question. She's not like some of these scamming groups that if you question the leader, they just launch into a tirade questioning you and your authority.
No, she's done that, too, to other people.
Okay.
People have attacked her viciously, mm-hmm. and I've seen she's attacked them back.
But
again!
In this case, she has gotten back to you. Some of the questions, I mean, there's still a lot of things are fishy, but she is answering some of the questions. She does feel some compassion. Mm-hmm. Now, this is almost like when you call Agnes and Mavis on the carpet. If you mean to me, if you mean a lot and you feel that you're not really scamming me, I need you to pull all these other people off the site. It's almost the calling on the carpet. Will they do that? That remains to be seen. That's
right.
The case with this.
She sent me the cotton brown. She sent me a picture of the cotton brown FBI, which I've sent out to be authenticated, if mm-hmm. possible. I contacted you, Joe, about somebody who I'd like to mm-hmm. check it out. Also a friend of the show, Sergeant Padula, has somebody. So we're going to see, if you could tell from a JPEG, if that cotton brown FBI ID is real or mm-hmm. fake. You might not be able to tell. It's worth a shot, right? Mm-hmm. She has repeatedly told me she does not work with the authorities. She's not working with IC3, Interpol, UN. And that she fears for her life. It's possible. She tells me Eric Bohr, which is of the Interpol in her claims, Dr. Melvitt, the UN, and Cotton Brown are good men. That's what she tells me. She wants me to contact them. She says these people are linked to scams on various anti-scam sites. I've asked her for their email addresses, which I'm waiting on. Like, she CC'd everybody on this, so I could probably figure it out. But I want her to give me, and I could probably find it online, I want her to give me the email addresses mm-hmm. of these people.
Mm-hmm.
She says that she wrote, and this is, she's copying, she's writing it, and I can't tell if she really sent these letters or not. There's no way of me knowing for sure. But she writes that, she writes Dr. Melvin of the UN saying, if Brown and Eric are sending people to scammers, it is not right, and she wants help. And she said she'll be sending me more information.
I'm sorry, what was that one that you read? I apologize.
She writes to Melvin, who's mm-hmm. of the UN, who mm-hmm. she's supposed to be working with, saying, if Brown and Eric are sending people to scammers, it's not right. So... she's not really – she's starting to distance herself a little bit. On one hand, she says these are good men. On the other hand, she's going, you know what? If she's sending him to scammers, it's not right. She's starting to distance herself a little bit.
It's like saying, buddy of mine, I'm going to buy a car. You say, yeah, I'm going to buy this car from my buddy. Yeah, I know the guy, man. I've known this guy for a while. You know, he's a good dude. He's always been good by me. If he screws you over, let me know.
Yeah.
You know, it's either – Or it's either or. You can't one sentence say I know these are good men if they're you know falsifying themselves and are actually scammers, then I don't want anything to do. It shows in that sentence that you haven't done your research. Are they good men? Have you done your research? Are they good men? She has the benefit of the doubt in her mind.
Before I play the interview, I will tell you there are a couple schools of thought on this. There's a school of thought that says she knows exactly what she's doing. Exactly what she's doing by sending people to Interpol, Eric, and Cotton Brown, Dr. Melvin. And there's the other school of thought, somebody who claims that he knows this woman, says, I've done the research. These are scammers she's dealing with. She just cannot, Ann Jackson, can just not process it yet, cannot come to terms with the fact that she's dealing with scammers. Those are the two schools of thought. Even people who have defended her on her page, I've seen that this said, listen, Ann, I know you're not a bad person, but these are scammers.
But there's too much there's too much there. The $2,500 does not sit well with me. There's no...
Imagine if you sent it.
But there's no explanation of the fee. Is it a fee?
It's to open up the court case. To proceed and get in the criminals. I don't know why.
Right. And there was no explanation given or a breakdown of the fees. Also, where she is she or is she not? The thing is as this progresses, as she's getting called on a carpet more, how far is she distancing herself from these people?
This was the first. Today was the first time where I heard her say it was like I think it was might have been even been in the same day. It was either yesterday she said they're good men. I'll say for the sake of argument, yesterday she said to me they're good men. Now she's saying, you know what, I'm writing to this Dr. Melvin, and she's also said she's going to out them all if they don't respond to her. She's going to shut down a page and out them all.
Now this is in the remain to be seen department. So basically, her credibility is the actions that we are going to see happen in the next week, 2 weeks,
well,
three
I,
weeks?
Well, I said this to her. I go, you know, you're known, no matter what anybody says, as a really good scam hunter. You're hearing these allegations. I'm finding, I mean, you've tied your reputation to these people who you've met over the internet. Why aren't you doing more research on them?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't really gotten that answer. Again, I want to talk to her, see what happens.
Because sometimes the group leaders, and yeah, I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to sound like a broken record again. These group leaders sometimes still have such an emotional attachment that they're doing things emotionally and not rationally.
There's that argument.
Believe me, I just spent the past year doing that.
Listen, man.
But in a different situation, but you're not, you know, it just, there's so much.
There is the argument out there that this person, he's either a good person and she just can't grasp that she's dealing with scammers. That people have even said maybe she's mentally ill. I mean, I don't know. Let's listen to the interview. Right. It's a lengthy interview. It's a good interview. We talked to somebody who dealt with Ann Jackson. So you guys, I think the picture may or may. I think it might be a little bit more crystallized afterwards.
All right.
But I think Ann, by responding to me, has raised some questions in her defense.
Right. My thoughts going into this before the interview, I think that is what you were saying. I think that she is reacting emotionally. Going into the interview, I feel that she's a good person. But I think she is being led on by these people and maybe not thinking rational.
Okay.
All right, let's listen.
We are here with an alleged victim of the embattled anti-scammer Ann Jackson. We're with Renee. Renee, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right, well, thank you for taking some time to talk with us about this. When were you originally scammed? When did that happen?
It happened in 2011.
2011. And how long after that did you discover Ann Jackson?
It was a couple of months after I was originally scammed. I was introduced to her through Nina.
Nina, who's another embattled anti-scammer Facebook administrator, Nina. Did you feel good about that introduction?
At the time, yeah, I did. When it first happened, Nina, I didn't know everything about Nina.
Right.
So, and then she introduced me to Claire, Emma, whatever she wants to call herself now.
And those are all names that Ann Jackson, which isn't her real name, but those are all names that this person goes under, correct?
Yes.
And did you know that they were all the same person?
Well, see, when I was introduced to her, she didn't use those names.
Okay. What name was she using?
Well, on Facebook, she went by HM. JP.
HMJP. And why did Nina introduce you to this person, to Ann? We'll go with Ann.
My scammer used pictures of Lieutenant Jeffrey Miller.
Okay.
And this lady, Ann Jackson, whatever, supposedly knew him.
Okay, so Ann Jackson allegedly knew the real man, the real soldier.
Yes.
I don't think the real Miller has ever come forward. Am I correct with that?
The only thing that I know of is they did a piece on him on 2020.
Okay.
And they did talk to him by telephone.
Okay.
And told him about his pictures being used to scam women.
Huh. So why did Nina feel it important for you to talk to Ann Jackson?
Because at the time, I was trying to find the real Jeffrey Miller.
Okay.
Who I didn't know that he knew his pictures were being used.
Right. So you were trying to warn him.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think Nina's heart was in the right place with this introduction?
That's a hard question. Oh. That is a very hard question because I know the type of person that Nina is.
All right, so you're not a big fan of Miss Rasmussen, Miss Nina Rasmussen.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so do you think that the two of them are working together?
At the beginning, yes, I do.
Okay. Wow. So then what we're kind of getting is not only is Ann Jackson possibly working both sides of the fence with scammers, which, you know, we just covered in our report of all the reports that have been out there, yes. But you think maybe Nina is working both sides of the fence? Okay. Well, we got a report on that coming up as soon as I can get that done. We'll delve into that. So, wow. Okay. So Nina tells you that you should talk to this person, Anne, or Claire, whoever she was going as, because she knows the real Jeffrey Miller. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So how were you told to get in contact with Anne?
Nina introduced us on Facebook. She got us together on Facebook.
Now this thing with Ann Jackson where she's being accused of working with the scammers, working both sides of the fence. I have not seen anywhere where Nina has commented on this, but I'm not all-knowing and all-seeing. Have you seen anywhere where Nina has commented on this?
Oh, no.
So Nina is silent on this?
Yes.
Okay. And this is the first time that I'm hearing Nina associated with this, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, Nina has been rumored to be involved with all sorts of other things, which is why I've been investigating, and I'll come up with that later in the year. But this is the first time I'm hearing this. All right. So you're talking to Ann Jackson. How are you communicating with her? Phone, email?
We did Messenger on Facebook. We did email. We even Skyped.
Oh, so you saw her?
Yes.
The rumor is she's a Japanese lady. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. How is her English?
Broken English.
Okay. All right. Did you find her knowledgeable when you were talking with her?
Yes.
Okay. Did you find her helpful?
Yes.
All right. So this was a positive experience for the up until this point.
At the time, yeah, it was. She taught me a lot. I will say that she taught me a lot about scam hunting.
So she was teaching you what to look for in scammers, what the clues were. And were you keeping Nina in the loop on this?
In the beginning, yes.
And what was Nina's response to all this?
She really didn't have much to say. It's just, and then it came to the point where Nina was doing stuff that I knew wasn't right when you're hunting scammers.
Okay.
And so that ended our relationship.
Could you give us an example of that?
Well, I knew she had scammers. She was dealing with scammers.
She was dealing with...
all I can say about that.
Was she dealing with scammers to scam other victims? Are you alluding to the Ghana thing, the trip to Ghana?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're actually... I've talked to a lot of people on that, and I'm just...
Telling me that she was in relationships with these military men.
Yes, I'm.
And one of them, Aaron Ramos.
Okay.
We became friends.
You became friends with the real Ramos.
I got a hold of him. He's a Kentucky boy.
Okay.
Well, you might need to take that out there. And I talked to him, and he can't stand Nina.
Had he ever spoken with Nina before?
Oh, yeah. He had dealings with Nina, and he told me himself that he hated her, he couldn't stand her, but according to Nina, they had a relationship.
And Ramos denied this?
Oh, yeah.
All right, just to give a little bit of a tease. It's not the first time I've heard that with a different soldier. I've had communications with soldiers myself with Nina. But that's not tonight's show, although maybe we'll bring you back to talk about that. I didn't know this was going to get into Nina. But all right, so far you're feeling pretty good about everything.
Yeah.
And then, as I understand it, you now feel she's in league with scammers, talking about Ann Jackson. What made you feel that way?
She introduced me to a, I'll call him a man, I don't know.
Okay.
By the name of Parker Green.
Parker Green.
Yes.
Okay.
He supposedly was helping her and Lieutenant Miller to get her money back from where she was scammed.
So Parker Green is allegedly helping Ann Jackson, who says she was scammed in 2011. Is that correct?
Well, she was scammed before that, like 2008.
Oh, okay. It's a little different than what you told me. Okay.
So she introduced me to Parker Green. You know, were at this time I felt that we were friends.
Okay.
So I started emailing Parker Green. We started talking, Yahoo, emails. I guess I was I was stupid.
No, I don't think it's stupidity. I mean,
I think at the time my self-esteem was so low because I had been scammed before.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, to be honest, when somebody's been scammed in a lot of ways, if they're feeling really low, it is low-hanging fruit for them to be re-scammed.
Yeah.
I don't think it's stupidity. I mean, it's just naivete.
I guess. So I fell in love.
You fell in love with Parker Green. Now, what was Parker Green? Now, Parker Green allegedly tries to help get the money back.
Yes, was Parker Green is allegedly a Marine.
Parker Green is allegedly a Marine. So Ann Jackson is telling you that a Marine can go after scammers,
yes,
and get money. Well, the story has certainly evolved from Ann over the most recent allegations. So where is Parker Green allegedly stationed?
Allegedly in Afghanistan.
So Parker Green is going to go after scammers in Nigeria, Malaysia, Ghana, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and of course, you I'm sure you've done the research. There is no Parker Green?
There is no Parker Green.
Okay.
I learned that the hard way, too.
Okay. So Ann is telling you, Parker Green helped me get this money, and because you've come to me, I'm going to ask Parker Green to help you get the money back, correct? Okay. All right. So you start to have feelings for Parker Green. And this all seemed okay, normal at the time.
Yeah, at the time it did.
And how did Parker Green say he was going to get the money for you?
Oh, he told me I needed to contact EFCC.
The who? Oh, the EFCC in Nigeria.
Yes.
Okay. So that was him just providing information. That wasn't really him going to Nigeria to get the money.
Right.
And let me guess, he was going to put you in contact with somebody over there?
Yes.
Oh, it's funny how they always have contacts. Our Marines are known for having great contacts in the Nigerian government.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, and how long were you talking to Parker Green?
I talked to Parker Green for over a year.
Okay, and when did he tell you he would help you get the money?
About 6 months into talking, and you know, I knew it wasn't possible.
Right.
In my head, I knew. In my heart, you know, I wanted it to be true.
Did this feel kind of familiar to the first time you got scammed?
Yeah. First time I didn't send any money.
The first time you were scammed, was that for was that also with somebody posing to be a soldier?
That was Jeffrey Miller. Fake.
That was Jeffrey Miller.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think, well, all right, well, now I found a legitimate soldier. I'm guessing there was excuses why there couldn't be video chats and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm guessing at this point there was no traces of IP addresses.
No.
Okay. Had you...
About that stuff when it first happened.
Was there anybody you could talk to besides Ann Jackson about this? I mean, did you discuss this with Nina?
Yeah.
And Nina said, this all sounds good.
Yeah.
Really? Well, look at that. Nina, the authority on military profiles and has all these support groups. Hmm. Interesting. Nina doesn't tell you to ask any questions about this.
No.
Nina does not say, maybe you should be cautious. This doesn't sound right.
No.
Did Nina say she had any dealings personally with Parker Green?
No.
All right. No. So, and now this whole time, you're still in correspondence with Anne, keeping her abreast of everything.
Yes.
So, what made you feel that, all right, you know what, this Parker Green isn't right, this Ann Jackson thing isn't right? What made you feel that way?
When he introduced me to his daughter, and then all of a sudden his daughter needed money.
Oh, they always do.
Oh, yeah.
What, was there a surgery coming up?
The first time he asked for money, she needed school books.
School books, okay.
Yeah.
And how much was that for?
He needed $500.
$500 for school books, and for some reason his funds were frozen because he was in Afghanistan, right?
Yeah.
See, I know nothing about this, by the way, but unfortunately I become immersed in this. I kind of know how they work. But you'd already been through this, so now a red flag goes up?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do?
Tell him I'm not sending any money. I don't have that money to send.
Tell him, call Jeffrey Miller. He's got my money. All right, and then how does Parker Green react?
Oh, he gets very upset.
Parker Green gets very upset. So now do you go back to Ann Jackson and say, listen, something's not right?
Yeah, I tell her, I don't have the money to send him. I cannot send him money. So she tells me that I have no heart.
She tells you have no heart?
Because I won't send money.
So she's actually using psychological pressure. She's actually actively pressuring you to send this guy money.
Yes.
Knowing that you're already a scam victim.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any of these emails? Like, if this should ever come up and somebody wants to verify this, do you still have this stuff?
I have every message that me and Ann Jackson.
So if I needed a screenshot of that particular conversation, you could get that to me to prove that you are on the up and up. Of course, we would black out your name, but you could prove that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So she's pressuring you to send money. What's your reaction? You're obviously very. I don't know. I'm assuming you're very confused at this point.
Well, I tell her, I do have a heart. I don't have the money.
Right. And what does she say?
I start getting this in my head, there's something wrong here.
Right.
She should not be telling me to send these people money, but she swears they are real.
They always do.
She swears to me that Parker Green is a real soldier, and she's in a relationship with Miller, and...
Wait. Hold on. Anne is allegedly in a relationship with the real Miller.
Yes.
Anne's allegedly in the relationship with the real Miller. Miller's pictures were used to scam you originally.
Yes.
At any point, do you ask her for verification proof of Parker Green being real or her relationship of Miller?
She gave me Miller's email address.
Okay.
Write to him.
Was it a military email address?
He never responded to me.
Okay. Was it a military email address?
No.
Okay. Do you know, do you have any way of knowing if that is the real email address?
I have traced it, but like I said, he never opened the email.
Okay.
So.
And I'm sure Ann had a reason for that.
All
right, so you tell, listen, he's not responding. Do you ask for proof of Parker Green being real?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
So at this point, do you tell Anne that you know what, you're a little suspicious of all this?
Yeah, I do, because when she was talking about Miller, and I know Lieutenant Miller is in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
She tells me he's a Marine.
Okay.
And I say, well, wait just a minute. I said, Every picture that he's in an Army uniform.
See, now I'm going to stop you right there because that's very important. For people that don't know the difference, you really need to educate yourselves on what the different uniforms look like. Because often the scammers do not realize, and they'll interchange what they say they are. They'll say they're Army, Marine, Air Force, Coast Guard. They really don't know. So right now, was there like a pit in your stomach?
Yeah.
So what do you do now?
I keep talking. I think that, you know, I keep telling myself there's something wrong.
Okay.
This is not right.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep talking to her. And she made the mistake. She called him James.
She called who James?
Miller.
She called Miller.
Miller.
And his name is Jeffrey. Right, okay.
And she called him James.
Okay. Now, do you go back to Nina with this?
No. By this time, I've cut all contact with Nina.
And so so this is sometime after this summer. That's when Nina started. This past summer, that's when Nina started with the Ghana trip.
Yeah.
Okay. So Nina's out of the loop. And Jackson's feeding you a bunch of garbage. Mm-hmm. Now, she claimed that she works with the UN, the Interpol, and the IC3. That's what she's been saying recently. But did she mention that she was talking with those places?
Oh, yeah.
So if she's talking with those places, I'm just wondering, you might not know. Because people have baited Ann Jackson, that's what we now know. And there's real victims coming forward, which we just read before, besides yourself. So I'm wondering if she's claiming to try to do reload scams with the UN, the Interpol, and the IC3. At least that's the allegations. How come she's trying to send you through a Marine? That's kind of different, don't you think? Or not a Marine, Parker Green, whatever he is.
Yeah. And see, she gave me the name of a man that supposedly worked for EFCC. I think it was his name. She called him Brown.
Brown. This is the same Brown. Was it like Cotton Brown?
She just gave me the last name Brown.
This is now she uses the name Brown for IC3, in the Bates, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I had a contact at a military base.
Okay.
That I contacted.
Right.
And I said, "Have you ever heard of this and this person?"
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "No."
Which person? Which people? Brown?
Yeah.
Well, Brown was supposed to be in the EFCC, correct?
Yeah.
So how would the military know, to be fair?
Well, the gentleman that I talked to dealt with scamming.
So you dealt with somebody in the military who dealt with scamming?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's like, when we deal with Nigeria and the EFCC, this name has never come up. Did he actively investigate, do any research to find out if this person existed? It's possible he didn't hear of him. It's possible.
He could have. I don't know. I just sent him my information. He sent me what he knew, and so.
Okay. So now is this the evidence you need now to call Ann on the carpet with your contact?
Well, by this time, I think she knows that I know she's wrong because she... she won't talk to me anymore. I start questioning her about her calling Miller James and saying he's in the Marines instead of the Army, she cuts all contact with me.
Okay, now I've seen her use that from correspondence from other people. I've seen her use that tactic before, stop emailing. She seems to get upset when she gets challenged. Would you agree with that? All right. Did Ann Jackson ever ask you herself for money?
No.
All right. So she's if we're to believe everything, because I have not seen any place where Ann Jackson has actually herself asked. You know, I've been looking over some of the reports, doing my own research. I haven't seen any place where she has actively asked for money. No. Did anybody ask you for money in this whole thing?
Just Parker Green.
Just the $500.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually, as we just heard prior to this interview, usually the money is $2,500, and that's from Brown and a guy named David Moore in Interpol in Ghana. It's usually $2,500. So they were doing small potatoes with you. Do you feel lucky?
Oh yeah, very lucky.
All right.
Now,
so
they did. I will tell you this: Miller or Parker Green did have the guy from the fake guy from the fake EFCC contact me and tell me that for $2,500 they would try to get my money back. And I thought, and I told him, and I emailed this guy back and I said, "You're crazier than I won't use bad words." And I blocked him. So
okay.
You know, by this time, I knew it was wrong. I knew it was a scam.
So, so the $2,500 is consistent. They just gave Brown a different agency.
Yeah.
So, do you go back to Parker Green with this at this point? Go, hey man, your contact just asked me for $2,500.
Yeah.
And what happens?
He gets upset.
Of course, he does.
He says that I'm a horrible person.
Oh.
Because I won't send the money, and to never contact him again.
Have you, when was the last time you were in contact with Parker Green?
Oh, middle of last year, I think.
Middle of 2013?
Yeah.
Okay. And you've never discussed any of this with Nina because she's been cut off?
Yeah.
When was the last time you communicated with Ann Jackson?
About the same time that Parker Green.
Okay.
She sent me a message on Facebook that said she was deleting all her profiles and everything. And
I think we gotta ask because this happened last year, and I guess there was investigations going on this year. And you know, for the sake of honesty, you contacted me about a week before all these allegations broke all over the internet about this Ann Jackson. I didn't know anything about that when we had this conversation. Like, you asked me if I knew this person. I really didn't. Why did you wait until this until people started baiting her and checking her out to come forward?
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
Okay, so what did you do that I'm unaware of?
Okay, there was other people involved that I had contacted about her because I knew she was changing her name.
Okay. Now, who are these other people? Were these scam baiters? And these are people that you verified as being trustworthy?
Yes.
Okay, so you trusted these people. So when did you contact them?
Right after I noticed, I keep all my messages on my Facebook.
Okay.
And I noticed her name kept changing.
Right.
And then I noticed on one of the scammer sites, her name popped up.
One of the scam? What do you mean her name popped up? What's that mean?
Everybody was talking about Ann Jackson's blogs. You need to read Ann Jackson's blog.
Well, let's be honest. Up until a couple of weeks ago in the anti-scam community, I mean, she was kind of the, you know, she was the highest standard. People really appraised this woman. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, they did. And that's why I contacted a person and I said, "Do you know this person? Because I know this person. And this is not the name she went by when I knew her."
Okay.
And I told them my story.
Is that what led to the active baits of this woman?
Yeah.
Did you know of anybody else that had a similar experience at this point?
I had been given some names, but I didn't know the women, and now their Facebook pages have been deleted. So.
Well, I mean, we just read some excerpts from a Russian woman was telling us her experiences. You know, it's different than yours. Yours is the only one I've heard, and yours is the only one I heard where she tried to hook a victim up with the soldier, but it always comes down to money and Brown at the end.
Well, there were other women that she tried to hook up with Parker Green.
There were other women. Well, I've been in contact with Ann Jackson. We've been emailing back and forth, and by the time this airs, we may have an interview with Ann Jackson. But we've been emailing back and forth, and, you know, listen, I try to be fair. I try to present all sides of the story. And I have asked her to put me in contact with people that would say that she has helped retrieve money. So we're still waiting on that, to be fair. Because right now, let's be honest about it, there's a mountain of evidence and accusations against Ann Jackson. And, you know, she has told me, she has expressed to me that she's scared for her life. Because people have threatened her, which I believe. Do you think there's any chance in the world that this person is just misunderstood?
I think maybe, and in my heart, I really want to believe that she's confused.
Okay. Is it possible?
I don't think she wants to be a bad person, but I think she's really confused.
So it is possible that these people are manipulating her. There's a little possibility. Okay. Okay, because, I don't know. Because, I mean, let's be honest. She's put out some really informative videos, right?
Yes, she has.
But...
And let me tell you, she's good at finding scammers. She's good at what she does. But my problem is, you don't hook women up that's been scammed. You don't hook them up with other scammers.
No.
Pretending to be real soldiers.
And you feel at the very least she knows this Parker Green was not real because she lied about the name and the Miller and everything.
Exactly.
So it's not really confusion. She kind of, so there is a part of her that knows what the heck she's doing, you think? You know, it doesn't all square up. Cause, you know, the only thing I can think of when I hear this thing is, all right, well, maybe she's pointing the finger at other scammers, because what does she care? She's got her own syndicate, right? Maybe she's pointing, getting these other scammers in trouble. It's good to come off as an informative source, because then you automatically have that trust.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a way of luring people in. All right, so do you think there's a chance that Nina doesn't know what she's doing? Do you think they're still good in Nina?
No.
Okay. So you would actually condemn Nina Rasmussen more than Ann Jackson from your experiences and what you've learned thus far? Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. All right. I think that pretty much covers it. Is there anything you'd like to add, whether it be about Ann or Nina?
Say that, you know, Anne or Claire or whatever she's going by.
Right.
I don't know if she really means to do what she's doing. Because the story that she told me of her being scammed,
mm-hmm.
Why would a person that was hurt like that try to hurt other people?
Well, unless that story's completely made up.
That's true.
Have you ever seen any evidence that she actually was scammed?
No.
Okay.
But she tells the same story.
Well, you know, like I said, I've been in contact with Anne for the sake of fairness, because I like to give all sides of the story here on the Den. So I have asked her for evidence of certain things, and I'm hopeful that at least some of the things that she claims can be verified, because certainly you've told me that if push came to shove and somebody wanted to verify your story, you have the information to prove it, correct?
Yeah, I've got every message we ever sent each other.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry you have gone through this. I know some of the people you know, and I know now you're surrounded by good supportive people, so at least you landed in the right place. But this goes back to what we always talk about on this show. You got to be careful. Even if they profess to help you, you got to be careful in the internet, because you just never really know. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree.
Well, Renee, I'll tell you what, this has been enlightening. I didn't know this was going to turn into a part of a Nina thing. I had no idea. We might, like I told you, I'm doing investigations on that whole trip. I've spoken to a bunch of people, and that's going to come out later in this year. If need be, would you be willing to speak on that, on Nina Rasmussen?
Sure.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your evening to do with this. I wish you the best of luck and success with everything, and thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
All right. So there you have it, Joe.
Right.
Well, first of all, what do you think of the interview?
I think it's pretty in depth. I just want to try to get. There's so much going on. I just want
to. You're ready to roll right into it.
Well, I just want to get the cast and characters down. Now, Nina Rasmussen, she runs an anti-scamming board.
Nina's the one that we've called out. She's friends with Whiny the Pooh. They are both admins on the same
set. Okay,
so, okay. Nina's the one who we called out as a racist and everything.
Right, right.
Nina's the one who actually left a different anti-scam site that she doesn't run.
Right.
Because I was part of it. Oh, I know who that is. Hold on a second. Hello?
Hi, it's Pip.
Hey.
Hey, Pip, how are you?
Hey, you guys. How's it going?
Hi, sweetie.
You get the Flintstone Mobile back home?
Oh, my God. You can't believe.
Well, we're not going into it now. save it for next week. We look forward to disbelieving next week.
No, I know. You'll have to disbelieve next week.
But we're glad you're safe.
Yes.
Joe was just we were just going over Nina. You heard the interview, so we were just going over Nina. So of course, jump in as you normally would where you feel fit. So what
So we got Nina Rasmussen. Okay.
So anyway, yeah. So Nina, as I was saying, Nina is the one who left the site because I was included in that site, and she said, "I'm leaving because you're going to hear lies," meaning that whatever I reported, and I haven't reported anything yet really on her, although I got a bunch of stuff. People can decide what they want, but they said, she was saying that I'm going to say a bunch of lies. I didn't bring up Nina Rasmussen.
Right.
There, Pip?
I didn't hear that. You didn't bring up the what?
I was just telling the audience, I and Joe and you, that I did not bring up Nina Rasmussen. I had no idea that Nina Rasmussen, who's an administrator with several hundred people on her various sites and has all these support groups for soldiers, and you heard about one of those things, and I've talked to another soldier who she quote-unquote supports, but what Renee was telling us is that Nina actively fed her to Ann Jackson.
That was my next question. Now, Ann Jackson. Now, another question I have: the gentleman in the Army. Now, we know that Parker Green was not real.
Parker Green, by this account, is fictional. Now, I did a little bit more research today, and the Parker Green came up again with the Cotton Browns and the Dave Moores.
Okay, so that's right. Now, Miller, the
Miller's a real soldier.
Whose
picture's been stolen.
And from what we're seeing here is that Nina fell in love with Miller.
Nina was in love with Ramos, although that never happened according to Ramos.
Right.
Nina's been in love with a couple soldiers. We'll get to that when we do the report. Nina loves a man in uniform. I'm going to Kmart and get me some fatigues. I want a relationship with this broad.
A boy.
I think we can make it work. But but no, Ann Jackson was allegedly in love with the real Jeffrey Miller. Renee was originally scammed by a scammer using the picture of Jeffrey Miller.
Okay. My take on this right now is almost when I went into this. I think that these two women are running on emotion and not
Which
common
two women?
Sense. Anne and Nina.
Well, I know a little bit more about Nina. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, this is like I said, you know more than I do. My preliminary
isolate that. Oh wait, that's my job.
My preliminary take on this is that they're both working irrationally.
So you think these are just a couple of women running on emotion?
Running on emotion.
Pip, before I give my take, what do you think?
I don't know about if it's just women running on emotion, because from what I was gathering, and correct me if I misunderstood this, but it seems to me that this Anne actually fed Renee to these guys.
Yes.
Like, actively acting as, sort of a scammer pimp.
Yeah. No, she actively sent Renee to Parker Green. She actively said she, you know, if this story is to be believed, everybody can make up their own mind. I can get the screenshots. I will get the screenshots if people want me to. It doesn't really matter. She actively said she was, Ann Jackson actively said that she, Ann Jackson, was in a relationship with Jeffrey Miller and then actively called him James by mistake. Those Millers are so hard to keep their name straight.
Yeah, that really bothers me. It doesn't sound only like, if both of these people are to be believed and that they were scammed in the first place and that's started their motivation to keep other people from being scammed. Yeah, a lot of it is too much. They're being too emotional, and that's guiding them rather than using their intellect and a little bit more sanity. But the thing is, it seems like Nina is more like she's just become so full of herself about how to do it that she thinks that she's the only one that knows how and nobody's allowed to question her, whereas it's sounding like this person, Anne, actually went over to the dark side.
That's interesting.
And also on my case, now I'm starting to back off of my case. See,
what's your case?
That they're working on emotion. Now, where I backed off is when I believe Pip mentioned, or maybe you, Dab, that in one of the correspondents, they used the wrong name.
Yes.
Which leads me to believe that there's a fly in the ointment right there, in my theory.
Listen, I mean, here's the thing. If you're running on emotion, I get that. Because a lot of the people in these anti-scam sites, they get re-scammed because they're running on emotion. Mm-hmm. We are talking about people in Nina Rasmussen and Ann Jackson that are held up for their knowledge of how scammers work, their knowledge of how to do the research and everything. So you would think with that knowledge base, if somebody asks you a question and you're really knowledgeable, you go, hey, you know what? That's a good point. Let me check that out instead of poo-pooing it. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. But there's a difference between being somebody who is knowledgeable and wants to share the knowledge and somebody who is so proud that they and insecure that they won't let other people even question them or even bring up other points or be better at a topic than they are. Like, how dare you know more about scamming than me because I'm the scamming maven, you know?
Is this about me again?
No.
Yeah, it is.
But based on that, you know, based on, you know, on the auspices that they're working on emotion. Emotion, when you are full of emotion, your lack of common sense is so low. It's indescribable. And when you look back on stuff, you're like, what the? When you're full of, you do things emotionally and you're not using common sense.
She said you had a good point.
Oh, you know, oh, yeah, you know, so, but still there's that fly in the ointment with the name. So, it's once again, with this whole scamming community thing, and we go through the whole thing with Agnes when we're doing the Agnes segment, where it's a double-edged sword, where you're going, well, maybe, and then it swings
back. Don't you impugn my girlfriend. Don't you impugn my girlfriend with what is going on now here, mister.
I have the same thing.
I have pictures of my girlfriend, and I have had authentic video chats with my girlfriend, and she is not a Marine.
She's not in uniform. You can't be foiled.
Okay, Devin. There. It's all good.
Don't you humor me, Missy, with a crappy car. Do not.
Crappy tires.
Whatever, it's part of the car. Do not besmirch my real and very emotional and loving relationship with my African girlfriend. That's where I stop.
Let me tell you something.
I will disconnect you.
Let me tell you something. If you were fully emotionally involved, this would be a full-blown legit argument.
Oh, yeah.
Don't laugh. I'm serious.
You know what? Maybe I would be emotionally involved if it wasn't just for the wife and kids holding me back.
But what I'm saying, you know, Pip, you know what I'm saying? It would be a legit argument. It would be like an intervention.
All right, so...
Oh, yeah, like I was going to say, it would be more an intervention than an argument.
This would be a whole different show. Listen, if I was really...
Yeah, there would be a lot of pickles.
If I was really emotionally involved, you think I'd read this to you maniacs every week?
No, this is... This,
now it's not.
This year, it's time for Davin to have the breakdown.
And then where would we be?
Joe's almost back to normal, so we'll let...
Live from Davin's rubber room. We're going to take off the cage on his mask so he can host the show and then put it right back on.
Now, Pip, my question to you is in regards to Anne. If you heard the segment where...
She did not. I don't think she heard a lot before the interview.
Oh, okay.
So you might have... If you have a question towards her, why don't you rehash it quickly?
All right. Basically, Davin was asking Anne these questions in regards on her feelings on this whole thing. Do you feel she's being scammed? And she is starting... She claims that she's going to do more research and start to distance herself from these people. Now, this is almost when Davin calls Agnes on the carpet with her followers. It remains to be seen if Anne is legit. It will be telling in the coming weeks if she starts to distance herself with these people.
Yes. I think so too. I did hear a little bit about that, but at that point, I hadn't quite figured out who we were talking about yet.
You were putting the lug nuts back on the tire. I understand.
Yeah. But I think part of the thing is, though, that it's kind of, well, I can't help it, and I'm sorry to bring up, another subject, but it is germane. I mean, it's sort of like Chris Christie. Now,
he's
saying, I didn't know what was going on with Bridgegate. I didn't know what the people directly around me were doing. So I immediately fired people that were the closest to me, and I'm so embarrassed. Now, that's the first thing that you're going to do if you're caught with your pants down, is you're going to distance yourself from your cronies.
No, that's not right? The first thing I do with my pants down. although distance probably is important. You know, you don't want to be too close. It's not the first thing I do.
And not too far.
Well, when you have something sizable, distance is important.
Good girl.
She's funnier on the phone.
Yeah. So that's gonna be a telltale sign on the legitimacy of Anne in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
So you guys like Renee, think that there's a chance that she's, and it's like some people have said, she's being manipulated by these scammers herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be.
You know, and I want to believe that, but I still feel that with this Renee story and with the pressuring of you're a bad person and the other situations where she's, like, pressuring people to send money, I feel like there's more to it than that. Because if you're really trying to help somebody, wouldn't you go, listen, if you want it, if it was me and I'm in that position that she's in, I go, listen, if you want to get it done, send the money. If you don't want to get it done, then tell them you don't want to waste their time anymore. I certainly would not tell somebody you're a bad person if you don't send your money to this person that I recommend.
You would if you're fully emotionally involved.
Well, that was kind of crappy. I mean, when she said that, I thought that was about the school books, not about or another thing that the daughter needed. Not about the money to go catch the scammer, wasn't it?
Well, no, it was two separate things. She told Renee that she was a bad person for not sending the money for the school books. In other situations, she had pressured it was either the Bader or the Russian victim, I don't know off the top of my head, to hurry up and send the $2,500.
Right.
That's not right. I think that you kind of misunderstood me. When I was saying that, making the analogy towards Christie, I was saying it like, I don't know that this is true in his case, but the first thing that you're going to do if you are caught is distance yourself from the people around you. So it sounds like if she was going ahead and saying you're a bad person for not sending money, she's saying this to somebody who was previously scammed?
Yes.
How dare you?
And
you manipulate somebody like that?
And also remember, either today, earlier, or yesterday at the latest, she wrote to me that these are good people. It was only like the last couple interactions where she said, I'm going to investigate
Maybe
this.
Maybe she's getting a moment of clarity.
This has been going on for weeks, dude.
All right, let's take a couple, for example, a legitimate couple that want to get married, okay?
The girl, I don't know such people.
A girl is marrying a guy. The guy is not the most...
You dick, why can't it be two women or two men?
A woman, all right, you know what? A woman, no, a woman is madly in love with another person.
I find that hard to believe.
And the family does not like this other person, okay? And
is it about me again?
No, they don't really like him. And let's say the woman goes to the father, could you lend us $5,000 for us to get married?
Right.
And the father goes, well, I really don't think this is a guy, guy that's for you. I really don't trust him. The woman says, you don't give a shit about me. You don't care. You don't love me. And it's happening. You hear a lot because the woman is being called on the carpet about something and reacting in an emotional way where they're not saying, well, I guess if you don't have the money, dad, or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Where that she's saying these things based out of emotion, that you don't care. You want to help. You're selfish out of an emotional state. Now, I'm being the devil's advocate if she is innocent of this and being misled emotionally. That whole thing that she said that gentleman's name wrong is still another thing to sway me. I mean, it's a double-edged sword with this stuff.
So I guess we didn't solve this tonight.
No, I
don't think we can solve this tonight. I think that the jury needs to remain out until we get more evidence.
Absolutely.
Have we at least furthered it tonight? Furthered the story?
Oh, I think that you've definitely furthered the conversation that the interview with Renee was really enlightening.
Yeah, I thought so too. And somebody's going to be really pissed. Somebody's going to, in another anti-scam group, is going to be really pissed off when they find out about this.
It was very enlightening. It was interesting, but it's also lending credence to what we've been discussing for the past, Jesus Christ, probably since October, late October, with these scamming groups, how they're emotionally charged, they're not rational.
Well, not all of them, Joe.
But I mean, there's a lot of them that are legit.
Right.
But on the ones that are under our scope here, where they're, you know, they're emotionally charged, where from the information that we have right this moment, it could go either way.
Yeah. If anybody in the chat wants to weigh in, whether you think she's dirty or not dirty, feel free, and I'll try my best to get to it. If not, just sit there.
Yeah, basically, that would be great if the chat could weigh in. And it feels...
They're all there. They're just not talking to me. I'm no Pip Helix. I'm no Den Mother. They won't talk to me.
Do you have the same feeling that we do, where the jury is kind of out with the information that we have right at this very moment?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. We'll see if, listen, I really hope, I mean, Ann told me she can't come on with me, and I'm like, why? We can do it at a time of your convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Could do it on Skype for free and everything. Listen, I mean, to be fair, not to pat ourselves on the back, I think we've been more fair to this person than almost any place else.
For the simple reason, we're not condemning him right now. We're not condemning
And I said what she said.
I mean, I counted off nine flags before we played that segment, which even added to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nine flags. And we are still at the point right now where we're not condemning, because we need to find the facts. And this is what the show
that's
does.
What happened. That's
we
what
find
happened.
The facts.
Oh, now I know why the chat isn't moving, because my stupid page froze.
Stupid.
Ugh, asshole. You know what? This is why you need a Helix.
I know.
Yeah.
And a Helix with a good
I'm glad
tire.
You finally get that and Joe, isolate that.
Yes, yes.
That
segment of
Davin's that's why
you like Goodyear.
I apologize, people. I'm like, why aren't people commenting on this? It's because this is why I can't be running all this stuff.
I understand.
No, I'm not blaming me.
All right. God forbid.
I have when I stink, and there's plenty of times. But, I mean, this wasn't my fault. I'm like, they're so quiet.
Yeah,
because you're
ignoring them.
I'm not. I wasn't.
You froze them.
I did not. It was my computer. Oh. It's very busy. Oh. I stink.
Well, they're all chiming in and saying that Nina is dirty. She's dirty to the bone. And
that's how I like them.
Yeah, but the more I'm hearing that, the more turned on I'm getting. I think I'm misinterpreting what they're talking about.
I'm turned on because finally there's a competent person running the chat tonight.
Shut up, you asshole.
God.
You ass. Oh, wow, they've had a lot to say about during the whole thing.
Do tell.
God damn it, I stink.
Do tell.
I didn't know. I'll play the punishment music to punish myself.
No! No, it's fine. It was fine.
They're not. How come they're so silent? They must really be enwrapped by this riveting conversation.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here going, well, this is how we feel. I'm like, we got a chat room that should... Although they're saying nothing. How can they be saying nothing?
Oh, I had no idea. She goes,
what are you talking all
about? Yes, I did what, Morgan? Yes, you did, Davin. What did I do, Morgan?
Oh, I'm sorry. Morgan was saying that Ann Jackson was dirty, and other people are saying that Nina is evil. It's kind of neck and neck. I think that we should have them both, like, jello wrestle to see who's more evil.
Evil where they're putting their emotions...
Oh, my word, Strawberry. There's word. There's language in this chat room that I seldom have seen before.
Wow. Yeah, I just saw that.
Look, Trucker Tom trying to make enemies. He said, "Davin effed up. Cue the punishment song."
No.
I will, Tom. I will.
No,
I mean,
no, Tom. But do they feel they're evil?
Hold on. Scamming scammers have said, "I'm still investigating, making progress." Slowly. What does that mean? Write it down here, scamming scammers. What does that mean? Has this furthered it for you? Who are you investigating? Are you investigating Anne? Are you investigating the victims?
She's talking about Anne. I'm sorry. She's talking about Nina.
Oh, scamming scammers is talking about Nina.
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell you, scamming scammers. I got that covered. Don't you worry.
Now
you stick around.
Now, Pip, they're saying that she's dirty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. I am just thrilled that the chat is now working.
Yeah. Okay, so dirty to me is that she's in with the scammers, not that she's acting out of emotion.
But you got to remember, I mean, listen, I don't know all these people in this chat room, and right. they might have come in before this with their mind made up, Joe. There's that possibility.
Mm.
You know, they said, listen.
It's possible.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. I mean, I don't know.
But they might know stuff that we don't know. But for what, like I said, that's why I said, the three of us feel right now with the evidence that we have, this could go either way.
I think it looks more like she's actively dirty, but I don't know. So, Scamming Scammers is still investigating Ann Jackson. Well, Scamming Scammers, have you spoken to Ann? Maybe you got the interview I can't get. I don't know.
Well, Scamming Scammers, I would like to find out if while you're investigating this, the $2,500 fee, is that
all
a
right,
legitimate court fee?
Hold on. Strawberry's going off on Nina. She's saying she's in the scammer. She has two friends, Josh and Fox. Strawberry, before you start calling people scammers, let me do the report, because unlike most of you all, I have interviewed Josh and Fox. So just everybody settle down. You have the information that's out there.
Now, Josh and Fox
are two people on the Ghana trip that I was alluding to with Renee.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's tackle one thing at a time. Let's not be
calling. Oh,
okay. Yeah, everybody, look, they're all hot to trot. They're frothing at
the
moment.
Well, no, this is good, because basically we're going to be uncovering.
It's like people give a shit about what
we
say.
No, it's like a case. It's like when you watch a case on, like, TV or something. Mm-hmm. Here's a case, blah, 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 blah. And as you progress, you start to break everything down. Apparently, I get your agenda is, I'm assuming that you're going to, this is what we have. Now, from what we have now, we're going to start to break it down in the coming weeks. Is that correct, Evan?
I have a slew of information.
Take that as a yes.
on Nina. I mean, the reason I have not gotten further with it is because there's so much and things keep on needing my attention. But I've spoken to Josh. I've spoken to Fox. I think we're going to get one, if not both of them, on this radio show in an interview. But I've corresponded with them both. I've corresponded with people that know them. I've corresponded with the soldiers that Nina professes to be in relation. I got it covered. I just need you people to stop making me do a show every Tuesday, and people need me to make earn money.
So this
so
is
I can
what
do.
They call the old tip of the iceberg.
Yes. This is the old tip of the iceberg. Mm. But I got this
so
stuff.
You're saying that doing the show is getting in the way of your investigating?
It certainly
yeah,
is.
Yeah, doing a show is getting in the way
right.
of doing a show.
yeah, really. Strawberry says, why do you think she set up an account for people to send money to it? All right, Strawberry, send me the proof. Send me the information that there is an account. Send me the information where people sent money. Because we need the evidence.
Also, send the information what the account was described for. What was the account for? Was it for court fees? If that was for court fees, are there actual court fees in Ghana to preside a case? Stuff like that, where you could take a look and go, this is this. So it's steps. Why is it there? How much? What's it for? Does it exist?
All right. Scamming Scammers has said, I take this is about Ann Jackson. She goes, "Scamming." I don't know if Scamming Scammers are here or she. I have no idea. I have a lot of information writing from various people and many, many chats with her myself. I need more time. I'm assuming this is Ann Jackson. If this is Ann Jackson, and you know, you think you get enough where you can give us a definitive answer, we certainly invite you on the show in the future to call in and say what you have. Just remember, though, if you come on the show, if you're going to have an opinion, you better back it up with evidence.
Yeah, and so, like I said, that's where we are right now. I mean, we could pretty from the nine red flags we had, we could just put a stamp on this right now, running on assumption, running on emotion. But there's a lot more to it. There's things that need to be broken down piece by piece. And I'm assuming that your agenda in the next months, following months and shows, is to break this down.
My agenda is to sort through all this stuff, put it in a cohesive way over a period of weeks where we can present this to the audience, all the facts, much like we did tonight, and have them decide. Mm-hmm. I'm not the judge. Nobody here is the judge. They can all decide. Scamming Scammers says that's the way I roll. No proof, no accusation. Okay, that's fine. I'm just telling you.
Right. Well, that's the
that,
way
that's
you roll.
Fine. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying, you know, if you come on the air. You know, if you're not just calling in, but if we do an interview and I say, hey, man, I need to see proof of that, or hey, lady, I need to see proof of that, just have it.
Right. And like I said, what we've done, this has been an hour we've been on this topic. We've been stating what we see, but we haven't accused.
Scamming.
We have not even at once during this whole segment accused.
No, scamming.
You know, facts.
Scamming. Or, Sammer says they have the that she they've seen the account details for Nina. I would love to see that. I've done a ton of stuff. I've asked some people. Haven't seen that yet. Would love to have that as part of the report when we file it. And of course, you would get credit for that portion of it.
Yeah, just to see how that money's moving. Where that money's moving in the right direction.
I have not seen anybody who's come forward and said that they sent Nina money. But that's for another day.
That's what they always say in investigations. Follow the money.
Yes, they do. Of course, unfortunately, there are no journalists who investigate anymore. But we move on. We are late. I can do a very quick scamming the scammers story.
You know what? I'd rather you not. I'm going to tell you why.
I
think that it, basically with everything we've done, was so fantastic. I think to add to it would do a little disservice to that segment.
But she loves the stories.
I know.
she hurried home for the stories.
I understand.
All right, we won. Look what you're doing to this woman.
I'm sorry.
She's using a cat in an inappropriate way now.
It's a democracy here. If you feel I'm wrong, you two decide and let me know, you know.
Wow. Can we isolate that?
No, you know what? I would, as much as I love the stories, I would love to be able to be there and react to them in person because it's difficult to hear, and so I don't want to be like, what did she say? What? But I get the point.
Yeah, my feeling was so much fantastic information on this one segment. We're running late, and I don't want to rush through the other scam. I want that Davin scamming segment to run on its own merit, not to be a Russian. So my personal feeling is I think that we've, you know, we're good.
Good. Let's work for me next
I
week.
I agree.
Next work for me. That makes me happy. All right, next week with this. That goes without saying, Joe. I don't think that was ever up for debate. Next week with the scamming the scammers, one of two things is going to happen. Well, I believe one of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to have an interview with Ann Jackson, and we're going to play that. Mm-hmm. Something's going to develop where there's conclusive evidence, and we're going to rehash that. Mm-hmm. And or we will start our three-part series of a conversation, of an hour-long conversation I had with a young man who lives in Ghana, lives amongst the scammers. So we're going to get his perspective of that. And we're going to start doing that.
Ooh.
Wow.
Is that for what I was talking about? Or are you using Stumpy in an inappropriate way over there, Helix?
I just love it when they purr. I can't help it. Well,
it's like a poor man's dryer. Come here, cats. Gather around. It's been a long day for the Helix. It's going to be a six per night.
Oh, God almighty. That's funny.
All right, so that's gonna come up next week. All right, so I guess we should start to wrap this up. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We would like to thank and Pip, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, Pip, thanks so much, sweetie.
We would like to thank Success Martial Arts, great for learning karate and self-defense, perfect for you together as a family or by yourself. Whether you want to learn in a class environment or you want private lessons, Success Martial Arts is the dojo for you. Give them a call at 845-469-1716, 845-469-1716, or check them out at smacenters.com, smacenters.com. Remember, that's the place I take my kids, so you can hang with me, and we can talk about all of this nonsense together. If you're in the mood for great Italian food, and really, who isn't? Then you need to go to Francesco's in Woodland Park, New Jersey. Chef owner Frank Giancarelli. He cooks like the Italian authentic cuisine. Not the bulls, not the stuff that you get at the Olive Garden.
Yes.
Not that that's not authentic, but they make some things up. Mm. But he cooks the real stuff, made with the freshest ingredients, the panache. Francesco's is your place to go with friends or family. You know when you want your chill place? You know when you're not feeling antisocial, Joe? You know that one day a year?
Yes.
That's where you take them. You take them to Francesco.
Ah.
That one day.
One day a year when Joe wants to play
nice. All right,
nice.
Quit laughing on the phone now. All right.
Settle down there, Jeff Norris. I mean, Archie Bunker. Inside comedy. They have a Mediterranean decor. It's cozy, it's intimate, you're going to love it. It's elegant. Francesco's even has the private party room where you can host family get-togethers or corporate functions. And unfortunately, they don't have a closet for Joe to hide in when he doesn't want to be social in those corporate functions, but it's a beautiful room. You're going to love it. They feature off-site catering as well. You could stop by Francesco's for lunch or dinner at 568 McBride Avenue in Woodland Park, New Jersey. Or, of course, call them at 973-925-1100. 973-925-1100. Go to their website, francescos-restaurant.com. And don't forget, guys, Comedy Night is Friday, January 31st, starring Comedy Central's Paul Bond.
Ooh.
They put together a great dinner and show package. You're going to eat. You're going to feel great. You're going to laugh. You're going to have a
good
time.
Paul is phenomenal.
Paul is phenomenal. Speaking of phenomenal, Goldberg's Famous Bagels and Kosher Style Deli of Chester, New York. The place where I go before I go on a 10-hour road trip to the Midwest.
Can't start a tour without
it. You can't. That should be their motto. You can't start a tour without it.
Can't start a tour without it.
I'll tell them that and charge them. Bring it. We got it, Joe. We know what you think of me. Stop it. You're being antisocial.
Yes, sir.
All right. They bring the fresh, delicious water bagel of New York City to Orange County, New York every morning. A wide variety of bagels are made fresh on premises for your enjoyment and my enjoyment. If you've ever had a Goldberg's bagel, then you know you can't have that crappy Lender stuff anymore. You got to have the real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Lender starts sponsoring us, then you should have them, too.
But until that time.
Exactly. No, I mean, Goldberg's.
Go to Goldberg's.
Goldberg's bagels. Goldberg's bagels are really, really good. I got to be honest.
Very good. Very good.
They have, like, the perfect toppings for your bagel. They got a wide variety of cream cheese spreads.
Oh, sandwiches. Oh, Jesus Christ.
With a name like Goldberg, Jesus Christ. they also have the deli, though. So it's bagel and deli. Their sandwiches, as Joe said, are great. He's drooling now. They have their own daily specials, like the Zombie, which is a potato pancake covered in fresh brisket, smothered in homemade gravy.
How good is that?
The Bronx Bomber, which no longer features Robinson Cano, is a square knish, corned beef, Russian dressing, and sauerkraut. And, you know, they're great for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And they can feed any craving. Do you want to go to them when you want to eat in, when you order out, when you want them catered, and they deliver. They're open at 5 a.m. Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. on the weekends. You go to 69 Brookside Avenue in Chester, New York, or you give them a call at 845-469-8505, 845-469-8505. And don't forget, if you're a veteran or a fan of this very show, mention that. You get 10% off. And Pip, where can people hear this?
People can hear this every Tuesday night at hawkradio.net, WKAD Radio, Wicked, Clutch and Wiggle, CyanNetRadio.com, TalkSuperStation.com, The Juggernaut, MacDaddyRadio.com, TheIndieAuthority.com, and if you happen to miss the show, like I almost did, you can download the previous shows from the following: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, PodAlmighty.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, and iHeartRadio. Joe?
Turd Pants is a weekly audio and sometimes video podcast hosted by Fluffy from Fluffy Talks on YouTube, Mike Wixon from The Humble and Fred Show, and Massimo from Massimo's Definition on YouTube. They talk about all kinds of wild shit, YouTube, the messed up news, stuff that happens to them in real life, and most of the time their discussions end with some sort of kind of gross conclusion, so check them on out. The Kerry Edelman Show, such a sweet girl, unique and different by incorporating guests' past and present experiences. The Kerry Edelman Show interviews, explores, and delves into the lives of some of the most fascinating and interesting musicians, comedians, writers in the entertainment industry today. Check out our live show Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard. To listen live again or check out past shows, go to blogtalkerradio.com/Kerry Edelman. The Watson and Watson Show. Born from a labor of love, or should we say constant disagreement? Judy and Johnny Watson, a.k.a. mother and son, are constantly battling each other on different issues of life, from politics to sports to proper parenting, or in Italian family terms, discussing passionately about it. If you like a radio show that is entertaining, funny, passionate, and you can have basically the whole family enjoy it, tune on in. You won't be disappointed. If anything, after listening to these two, you'll realize your family isn't that bad after all. Every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WatsonandWatson.com.
Before we get to the personal appearances, I want to make an announcement. Next week, we will be at the normal places at the normal time. That is on Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. The following week, we will not be on Tuesday night. Everybody, Joe and I got to do comedy.
Yes, we're busy men.
But we could not forget you people. We cannot forget the dentist. So we're going to do a special show on Monday night.
Monday night.
Live on the Davin's Den station. And also some of our affiliates will be covering it live on Monday. And that's going to be a special time at 7. So we're not going to be on Tuesday the 28th. We're going to be on Monday the 27th at 7 p.m. We're going to be here, davinsden.com. We're going to be on some of the affiliates. Also, some of our affiliates will be replaying it on Tuesday. So you can listen on the normal time. And, of course, we'll have it on the internet shortly thereafter. So I just want to make that announcement so you guys can start planning your calendars ahead of time. Miss Helix, where will Mr. Helix be, if anywhere?
He'll probably be in his man den. I actually just walked down the hall and asked him if he had any shows this week, and he reports no.
He reports, no. He's like, although I need it with the way you keep on blowing out tires. Yeah. Joe, is anybody employing you this week?
No, like Mr. Helix, I ain't got shit.
Maybe you can go over to the Helix home and change
the
tires.
The band is doing a video on Sunday. The band's doing a video on Sunday, but not live. So, yeah, I ain't got shit.
If you'd like to be in an extra in a Race Odyssey video,
yes.
Come on down. If you got big jugs, all the better. Yeah. Man or woman, matters not. Believe it or not, I am actually working this week. I know it's hard to believe.
You're getting clamorings from the den to go to Baltimore so they can see you live.
I know. I saw that. I gotta get down there. I should also plug my own company, Sidesplitting Productions. You know, we do all sorts of stuff. Sidesplittingproductions.com, comedy, DJs, impersonators, whatever you need. Sidesplittingproductions.com. Call me on the cell, 551-404-3094, 551-404-3094. As a matter of fact, Sidesplitting Productions this Friday is producing live comedy in Oak Ridge, New Jersey at Casa Bianca, starring Uncle Floyd. He was in Good Morning Vietnam and, of course, the Uncle Floyd show. It's a great show. Chip Ambrosia and Joe Pontillo. For tickets, you want to call 973-697-9.
And the food is phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. 973-697-9704. Saturday, I'm actually working as a comic. I'll be in Kingston, New York at Enzo's. Place is almost sold out, so for tickets, you want to call 845-383-3696. I think that is pretty close to wrapping it up. What do you think, Joe?
I think we have covered a lot of bases, and I think that is a wrap. Miss Helix?
Yes, you know what? I think that... As long as I've been here, we've covered a lot.
Yeah, what do you care? You've been you're home.
Relax. Relax.
How are you? I got a 2-hour ride.
What a hell of a commute to the couch I have right now.
She's making the Joe angry.
Yes. No, there's plenty of times I've been at home.
Oh, never angry the curry. I should know better.
Well, you've been home because you were banished in bed.
No, I've been home because I had there was a couple occasions I was home that I was on a show.
But don't make it a habit of it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But hey.
Here, I'm sitting across from you. I haven't.
No, that's good. We're glad you're here.
Yay.
If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us.
Tell no one.
Either
tell
way.
No one.
Love you.
On Echo. Either way, keep on listening.
See ya.